apostrophe G-O-K? Pagok?
It's with a B.
Oh, Bugok. It's a silent B.
I thought it was a P, like Bugok, not Bugok.
No.
Oh.
Bugok. Instead of back, Bugok. So it's B apostrophe G-A-C-K.
And we're Bugok.
That sounds like Bugok.
Well, I mean, if you want to pronounce your A like an O, fine.
Bacak.
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 Chickens.
We're already in mid-show form.
We got to get the kazoos. I heard about the kazoos.
Oh, can you imagine us doing like kazoo? That'd be pretty great.
That'd be pretty annoying if you're listening.
Steve, yes, sir. On kazoo duty.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
I will procure the kazoos.
I'll help fund them.
Okay.
You know.
They gotta be
should
a couple
they be
of bucks.
Too expensive
two,
for
two
you?
Bucks at Party City?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Should they be
well,
too
expensive?
Well,
you gotta
expensive?
Buy a 20-pack.
Okay.
That's probably true. Oh, maybe I should look into getting Captain Kick-Ass kazoos.
Ooh.
All right, just put my brand on it. Get them for Fork and Pork.
All right.
The fest's coming up. I don't know.
Just put it in the gift bag that they give out at the beginning of the festival.
Yeah.
Do you know how annoying that'll be? When everyone breaks out the kazoos?
When you hear a speaker you don't want to listen to, you just start up with the kazoos. It'll pass through the metal detector. You can't take your firearm in, but you can take a kazoo in. Drown his sorry butt out.
But can you take in a tactical kazoo?
Ooh.
Like, what was that? Like, you know, what is it made of?
AR kazoo?
No, but it's got the, what is it called? The little...
Made out of polymer?
No, the thing, the
front grip?
Oh, man. It's the thing that they put on, like, the tactical backpacks that you can attach other equipment
to. The molly strap?
The molly strap. Yeah, thank you. But, like, have the molly strap on the side.
So, tactical polymer with a molly strap on your kazoo? Yeah.
There you go, man.
Okay.
Yeah. Tactical kazoo.
And maybe, like, a red dot sight or something.
Okay.
You know, so you can aim your kazoo somehow. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. And then now we've gone there, so let's just go there.
Okay.
You've got to have your
Captain Kick-Ass branding.
You've got to have your everyday carry kazoo. Right?
A mini kazoo.
Your open carry
one.
And your external carry, right? So you have to have maybe one for each. I don't know if you can get away with one for everything that you do. I don't know. Maybe
you'd have
you
to
have to
have inside the waistband, outside the waistband.
And then your extra long kazoo that's in the truck. So you fight your way to the truck with your
44
with your carry
Magnum
kazoo.
What's the plural of kazoo?
Kazoos?
Kazoos? How many kazoo do you have? Kazee? Kazah? Kazooers?
Zoctopodes.
Nice. That's a callback from a long time ago.
It's also funny because I did it at dinner.
You did, yeah. It was still funny. All right, so it's Free Talk Live. It's the Sunday night edition.
Clearly.
Clearly. Based on the boisterousness, if that's the right word. Let's see. What do we do? Oh, yeah. Captain's Log, Stardate 04072024. In the studio tonight, it's myself. The authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kick-Ass Buckshot Esquire LLC, if you will.
Thought the LLC was last.
Joining me.
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I switch it up from time to time. It's not set in stone. The only place that thing is actually written down is at the very bottom of CaptainKickAss.com. You have to scroll all the way down past the contact me form, which nobody uses.
Right.
But you scroll past that, and on the bottom left, it says, the author.
I mean, now that you mention it, it should be on your headstone, because then it will be set in stone forever.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that.
In the future.
Okay. All right.
I'm busy living still.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Plan ahead. Well, got life insurance.
I got...
Yeah. You got a will made out.
There's a thing where
beneficiaries counting on you to die before so they can get some money.
No, there's a thing where if I die,
the ball's on this guy.
Yeah, if I die. Well, we will be talking about the quickening later on, the immortals of Highlander.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't know if, anyway, we'll get into that.
It's Outlander. Zoolander.
But if I die, there's a thing that I have where like a cremation is paid for.
Okay.
Right. Wow. So no one's getting any money. There's not a policy where if I die, some family member gets $1 million. That doesn't exist.
Fill my pockets with cash. And
I used to have one of those through the day job. I don't have the day job now. So whatever. Yeah. They just provide you one for free. I keep getting an offer from, I think it's my car insurance.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, fill out this form with all of your data. right?
Name, as if they
address,
don't have it.
Birthday, right? Fill out this form with all your data, and we'll give you a free policy of like, I don't know, $50,000
really?
Or something. Yeah,
that's not bad.
But like,
I've seen them for like $2,500. Like, yeah, you could just fill out the form.
You could be a Walmart greeter, and Walmart would get the $50,000.
I think it's just because, like,
yeah, you know about that?
Yeah, I know yeah. about that.
I've had like the same insurance company forever, so I think it's a longevity thing. They're like, well, you've been with us forever. Here, have you know some thing free, that doesn't cost as much, you know? That I'm sure they're making a 50% markup.
Right. You got to bet on either whole life or term.
Yeah,
yeah, something.
Ooh.
I don't remember what it was. If it's one or the other. But I just keep ignoring it because, you know what? You've got all that information already. I'm not filling out your freaking form.
They should just give it to you for free.
You know?
Hey, added bonus.
Yeah, they should, but they don't.
Yeah. I'm saddling everyone with debt.
Well, and
like, I'm dead. What do I care?
a friend of mine.
If you don't want to pay for me, like, you should pay for the policy, right?
Right.
So you put, like Walmart, you put the policy on me, and then you can collect when I die.
I should point out to our listeners that this is a live call-in radio program, if you're not familiar with Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160.
It's only going to encourage them.
Call in and save us, please.
From ourselves. So we mentioned lightning, the quickening, right? Immortals.
Yep.
You brought me up to speed on it.
Okay.
You're not familiar with Highlander?
I said Outlander, and then Zoolander.
Right. So, no, he had two of the wrong landers.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I sort of gave him the cliff explanation of Highlander.
Okay.
Which was, there's some immortals that run around with swords, cutting each other's heads off. And when they do, they absorb their power. And then the idea is that there can be only one.
Yep. Until that one does really well, and then they start making sequels.
Right.
Yeah. And TV shows.
Mm. Right.
And cartoons.
Right.
Yeah.
So apparently the United States has the Statue of Quickening.
Go on.
Well, everybody's all like on the eclipse thing. Right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Now, end of the world tomorrow.
I saw an eclipse. I don't remember when it was, like 91 or 92 maybe. I was taking welding at the time, and I was on a job corps center. And so there's a whole bunch of other trades going on, carpentry, electricians, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they all came down to the welding shop for the eclipse because we actually spent the whole morning preparing the welding hoods with the proper lenses to look at the eclipse.
I was going to say, normal welding lenses are not good enough and you can damage yourself.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So it was the specifically the like the not the MIG and TIG, but I'm trying to remember the other. The stick welding hoods. So anyway, yeah, we pulled all the lenses out, put the right lenses in that didn't have them already, busted out spare helmets, busted out our own helmets. We still didn't have enough. So it was like a whole bunch of people standing outside staring at the sky, moving helmets from head to head every so often. It was comical at best watching this go on. And it was really anticlimactic. I'm looking through my helmet. I'm looking at this thing and like, oh, yep. Okay, there it is. And okay, now I'm passing
and
my helmet.
It's gone.
And it's gone.
And like, I didn't feel anything. I wasn't like in awe. I wasn't starstruck. I wasn't like,
there was no emotional connection.
I didn't have a religious experience about it or anything. I
weren't
was
stuck
just
in
like,
traffic.
No, I was just like, can I have my helmet back? I got some welding to do, man.
You know, back like, to work.
There was one when I was in elementary school and I had a similar experience minus the welding helmets. Right? Yeah. We got the cardboard pinhole, whatever thing.
Oh, look on the ground?
You can still look up at it. It was, you know, you bought the lenses or they came with a cereal box or I don't remember how I got it because I was a kid. But again, there was no emotional attachment to it at all. Yeah. Like I didn't get excited. I'm not chasing them down.
I plan to look through a CD, not the middle, but the silver part.
Okay.
You can look through a CD.
You plan to do that?
I plan to do that, yeah.
Okay.
I don't have glasses or goggles or welding.
I think at the time helmets. It passes in New Hampshire, I'm going to be behind my desk at work.
Mm.
I might be on my lunch break. And I'm not going to go outside.
When is it? Monday?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay.
Mm. Like 2:30 in the afternoon.
See, I'm not even paying attention to it. So.
Well, it's everywhere.
Yeah. So how did we get on this? Oh, yeah. Everybody's...
The quickening.
The quickening.
Yeah, everybody's talking about the eclipse or whatever. And now everybody's like looking out for weird stuff. Right?
Earthquakes.
People so want like a bunch of like conspiracy theory, weird stuff to happen that now they're looking for it. Right? And so... apparently.
It's climate change. That's what causes the eclipse.
Yeah, I think that is. Yeah.
That's what Greta Thunberg was protesting.
Greta Thunderpants.
She got arrested.
She did twice.
Really? Yeah.
Detained twice. Although I was watching the video of at least, you know, it was like two cops dragging her by the arms.
Oh, I see. Right?
And she's like off the ground. So like,
it's a publicity stunt.
And then
she pulled her legs up.
And then, it looked like she pulled her legs up. And then also when they put her on the bus, she just kind of like got in and walked all the way to the back, like as if
planned,
like, you know, cut, right? You know, like the director yelled cut and she just, you know, continued walking in. It wasn't like, she wasn't like resisting in any way, shape or form. And she didn't turn around to be like, you guys suck or anything all like that, you know? So I don't know.
Well, I'll throw this out there then. We may not agree with her point of view, but she's still a better activist than you. She believes in the cause. She goes out and gets arrested for it multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, if that's what you want to quantify, you know, the number of arrests a person has as a good activist.
I mean, civil disobedience was a big deal in Keene for a long time.
Totally, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I don't know that, you know, the number of arrests is a good barometer for how good an activist somebody is.
If you're going out there doing civil disobedience, you're going to get arrested.
She's obviously better than, well, all of us sitting here anyway, because, like, everybody knows her name and her face.
There you go.
So there's that.
And she's a boy.
She's a lady. whoa, she's a lady. Anyway, so I saw this photo come across my feed, and it's a pretty kick-ass photo of the Statue of Liberty. And it's all sort of grayed out because it's like a rainy, cloudy day. And like some photographer caught this excellent lightning bolt hitting the flame atop the, you know, the Statue of Liberty.
And it didn't light it.
Right. Well, it looks lit in this photo. Okay. And then the irony is, or I don't know if it's irony, but like there's like a, I don't know if this was photoshopped in, but there appears to be an eagle flying.
Wow.
Like, might even be a bald eagle. I can't
tell. With a flag in its talons? Maybe?
No. Oh, maybe it's...
with some bundles of sticks in its talons?
No, the wrestler that did the superhero show.
The
John Cena?
Okay.
John Cena.
He did a
I don't see
a
show.
He's definitely a wrestler. I don't know what show you're referring to.
He was like super all-American guy, right? And he had a pet eagle.
Peacemaker.
Peacemaker, yeah. So maybe it's the Peacemaker's eagle.
It's technically a villain, but all right.
Oh, okay. Well. And then there's another photo, if you guys want to see it, you can look over here.
I thought it was some wrestling event.
I don't know where this is from, but you can see there's a big American flag there. But then the lightning bolt from further away looks more like the lightning from Metallica's Ride the Lightning album cover.
It's got the Victory V going on.
Yeah. It does. Mm. And so... people are like, oh my God, this is just like
the
one
rapture.
Of the many signs of, the rapture's going to come and there's going to be the earthquakes and oh my God, it's the eclipse and like, we're all going to die. Ah!
My boss is highly religious and he is convinced that part of the LGBTQ movement is the end of the world. Like, that's where he's at. It's like the Bible prophesized about this.
I've been in, you guys know I played in bands for 22 years or something in the Seattle area. And like twice, two different bands, twice was supposed to be like the apocalypse / rapture.
Okay.
Right? So in one band, we did an apocalypse show like on the night before the thing was supposed to happen.
So the Mayan calendar thing?
Yeah. And then nothing happened. And then like in another band, we did the 20, I don't remember what year it was, 2013, maybe 2012.
2012 was the Mayan calendar.
Okay. So that's the one we did that one later. And, like, nothing happened. So, like, nothing's going
on. I'm a big put your money where your mouth is guy, right? Like, let's bet on this, because I think I'm going to be here on the other end of it, and I want your stuff.
Did you make a bet with your religious coworker?
No.
Okay.
I did see a great meme that someone was going to buy hundreds or thousands of blow-up dolls and fill them with helium, and at the eclipse, just float them up.
Nice.
Like, bodies are ascending to heaven.
The rapture?
The rapture, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, buy a bunch of balloons and fill them with helium and then just
blow
cut
up
them
dolls.
So again, I'm not the religious one. You know, you could have someone more expert on the Bible than me, but they do quote, you know, like the meek shall inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you've heard that term.
Yes.
You're familiar with that.
Yep. Ezekiel saw the wheel.
Okay, so the meek shall inherit the earth, and therefore I am convinced that the wealthy and powerful are going to be the ones who ascend into heaven.
Okay.
And the people that get left behind are the weak and meek.
Because they're stuck on earth.
Because they're stuck on earth.
What generation is the meekest?
Right now, the latest.
And do they have a name? Do we call them a thing?
Gen Z or Gen Alpha?
Gen Alpha is a
new
generation.
Decided to start it at X?
Right,
that was dumb to begin with.
And then there was no Gen. Was there a Gen Y?
Yeah.
And then Gen Z?
And then Millennials?
Millennials.
Yeah.
So they skipped a letter. There were no letters.
Right, yeah.
They went from Y to Millennials.
Yeah, Millennials didn't get a single
letter.
No, then
Z, and then they started over at the beginning of the alphabet.
Right. Oh,
the problem is they started at X.
Right.
So they got X, Y, Z, and some Millennials and Zennials in there.
Who's the people who decide these things?
Decide the labels?
Yeah.
The media.
And also the years of separation.
I
25
think, well,
years, I think?
No, it's like 14 years.
14?
Because when I grew up, none of this existed. Like, sure, some people were referred to as baby boomers, like my parents, for example.
Yeah. That was like 50s through 70s.
Right, because it was, you know, during the war.
The baby boom.
A lot of people were doing the FCCing, and pregnancies happened.
After
and,
the war.
Yeah, and so there was a boom, if you will.
During the war, it was just in foreign countries.
Right. And so it was an influx,
call it rape.
A large increase in the number of babies and thus the population. So hence the name. Like, I was understood that one. But, like, that was the only one that existed. There was no Gen X when I was growing up. That label came, like, two
After
decades
Billy Idol.
Later.
Well, because you guys were degenerates.
What do you mean?
Gen X?
Describe degenerates. Or define.
Well.
Because I'm not sure I agree with you or not.
Okay.
Because I don't know the definition of degenerate.
I'll check the magic rectangle.
I'll let him do the magic rectangle.
Steve, go to the magic rectangle.
I'm going to the magic rectangle.
But I'm going to generally say pushing back against normalcy.
That's my entire life, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
There you go.
And I don't know.
And so X is always like the anti-symbol, right?
Like Malcolm?
Sure.
Okay.
Or whatever. I mean, whatever. But that's usually the anti-symbol, right? You cross something out. It's like a big old X over it.
Yeah.
And your generation pushing back against normalcy of the time, right? Common practices, you know, two-parent households and normal music and dressing
professionally. That's all very true. Yeah. Do you know why?
Why you did that?
Yeah.
No clue. I wasn't there.
Uh-oh, because they
but
had
that's
us
why
all,
you got the label.
They had us all convinced we were going to die any day.
Oh, okay.
Right?
That's
the ozone.
Fine.
Like
the ozone layer.
Like at first it was the Russians, then it was the nukes.
The Russians,
Then it was the Russian nukes, right?
Yeah.
And like they're like, it could happen any day. We were doing drills, right? Yeah. In school. Like, and it's like a tornado drill. Like,
get under
your desk, like that's gonna stop, like that's gonna keep me alive from a nuke dropping on us, right? But no, they had us convinced that like at any minute we could all die. And so Gen X, and I'm speaking for a whole generation, which I shouldn't do.
You're on the radio. They're not.
But, so, like, you know, they were like, we're going to live for today. Screw tomorrow. Like, we're going to party now. We're going to have a good time now. We're going to do all the drugs. We're going to do all the rock and roll. We're going to do all the sex. We're going to do all the things, right? Because who knows? You know, we might not be here tomorrow. And then.
Perfectly acceptable.
And then none of that happened.
Yeah.
And now there's a bunch of Gen Xers who are like, man, I never expected to make it to like 50.
They didn't promise that. So degenerate, if we want to look this up,
yes,
you know, the magic rectangle says, having lost the physical, mental, or moral qualities considered normal and desirable, showing evidence of decline.
Degenerates, according to at least the boomers of that time.
Well,
right?
that's the Gen
X parents, right?
They were the norm.
Right, they were the norm, and we were the degenerates according to them. Right,
right.
Yes.
And so you got the label. That's how you got the label. And according to you, acted accordingly, right? Like, well-deserving of that label.
Seems accurate. Yeah.
Okay.
Degeneration X.
Degeneration X. Degeneration. Oh, yeah. Nice.
That's a wrestling group. I'll throw up the X.
All right. Well done. Put your arms down. You're losing friends.
I don't care. I'll give you the X crop chop.
Isn't Johnny Gargano part of Degeneration X?
No. He's part of the fake one that they're rebooting.
Okay.
The fake one?
Oh man, how much you really want to get into this?
No, I got to work on Wednesday.
This is like wrestling storylines. I'll talk to you during the break.
Okay, all right. Anyway, USA Today put out an article about the lightning hitting the Statue of Liberty. She's electric. Watch lightning strike the Statue of Liberty emerge from her torch. So a lot has been going on in New York City this week. Just 2 days before a powerful earthquake rattled the city and areas around it all the way to Philadelphia on Friday morning. A severe storm hit the city and brought strong, damaging winds, heavy rain, and flashes of lightning. In fact, I saw a report that New Hampshire had thunder snow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Right? There's a rare event when it's it's like a thunderstorm, except it's snowing, and you get lightning and thunder during the snowstorm, which is pretty rare.
Like Greta Thunderpants.
Thunder, thunder, thunderpants.
Ho! A buddy of mine did that at his, you know, they let you do something at your graduation, like they announced, and he did the Thundercats, the call and response, and a handful of us in the audience, like, did the ho.
Nice.
And there was just an old couple like, I don't get it. What was that?
Yeah. Those degenerates.
Those degenerates,
yes. So anyway, storm hit the city, brought strong damaging winds, heavy rain, flashes of lightning. In a scene that almost seems straight out of a post-apocalyptic film, a flash of lightning striking the Statue of Liberty was captured by photographer Dan Martland on Wednesday. The bolt of lightning appears to be emerging from Lady Liberty's torch, making for an electric portrait.
It's a cool photo.
It really is.
Like, I'm not, again, I'm not, I have no emotion towards it, but I go like, no, that's cool. Yeah. It's cool that he caught that shot.
What? So, like, people are like, oh, man, that means Liberty's dead, right? You know what I mean?
No,
like,
it means the Statue of Liberty gets struck any number of times during any number of lightning storms.
And in fact,
and like, this guy caught it.
Just happened to have the
this time flash.
And in fact, this guy caught the previous best photo of lightning hitting the Statue of Liberty
so
as well.
So it's kind of his thing.
It seems to be. Or like, oh, storm's coming.
It's a lightning rod in the middle of New York. Like, lightning's going to hit it.
Yeah.
Whether you captured or not is like your skills as a photographer.
Yeah,
right.
And this guy's apparently pretty good at it.
And just to assuage, is that a word?
Assuage
anybody's fears? Yes, Richie, you are spot on. The Statue of Liberty gets hit by lightning pretty routinely.
Yes.
It's not like, you know, it's not like it's
never
happened
before.
It's a
big metal structure above everything else. That's how lightning works.
It's just getting some press because everybody's all like hyper eclipsed.
Okay.
I don't know. Everybody's on the eclipse frenzy.
Oh, it's right? Crazy.
It's the new thing to talk about and to read about and to
How does
know,
this tie into
about.
Highlander? Is it just because of the lightning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, also...
That's a little disappointing.
Also, I mean, maybe we'll see this Statue of Liberty...
There can be only one Statue of Liberty.
Maybe we'll see this Statue of Liberty pick up a sword, cut off the head of the other one that exists in France, I believe, and see if one of them gets the powers of the other. 603-283-6160. Can there be only one Statue of Liberty? More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Protection. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster. Holy stink.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
Yes, we are back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in.
It's like
in.
The jazz version.
Thanks for putting up
with
us.
It's Freeform Talk Live. No, wait. It's Free Talk Live. Sorry.
Okay.
Please call in and save us.
603-283.
Careful what you wish for, man. You know who's going
to
call.
6160 is the phone number if you would like to join in the conversation this evening. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Steve Classic.
And Rich.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar?
I am. Yes.
Yes.
You can live your life on Dash with bitrefill.com, where you can buy gift cards from big retailers, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org.
I'll throw this out. If we're going to have someone call in, I wouldn't mind if it was Ricky from the Commonwealth.
Oh.
Because I haven't heard from him in a long time, and we've got a bet.
It's true.
And he hasn't put in his Dash.
Right.
And Dash has been going up a little bit recently, and it's turning into a larger bet than he probably anticipated if he hasn't purchased yet.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, escrow has not been received.
Escrow is not. And it's not due until, like, the beginning of next year, in all fairness. Right, but we spent a lot of time negotiating that, and then he kind of fell off the planet. If he's no longer with us for whatever reason,
put up, baby, you know, put up.
I think I win by default, and I want that escrow money.
Sadly, I'm at the age over 50 now where, like, people are dying all the time. Like, some of that's probably due to, maybe something they put in their bodies or something.
A jab of some kind.
Jabba, perhaps. But, like, also age, right? You know, not everybody lives to, 100 years.
Well, like you said before, if you die.
If he dies, yes.
Right, so you may have us all beat.
If I die.
If you die.
If you die.
But if I don't, well, then I win.
Right.
What you got to do is you just got to get, like, the blood of the innocent and infuse that into your body.
Maybe I'll get the blood of the innocent and then go stand atop the Statue of Liberty the next time there's a lightning storm.
With a sword.
With a sword, and see if I can get both the quickening and the blood of the children.
Okay.
Right, and, like, get the effects of both and live forever.
And the voltage.
Okay. Captain Splatter.
Yeah, basically.
Hopefully the cameras are rolling for this.
It'd be like these people who, like, try and take these selfies while they're standing atop a ledge of a tall building.
Yeah.
They fall off and kill
themselves.
Last
photo.
Yeah.
Don't lean back on railings.
Yeah. At the Grand Canyon.
Don't step up on railings if there's, like, I don't know, man. I'm already, like, afraid of heights.
Okay.
So, like, when I watch a movie and somebody's standing on, like, the ledge of a building looking down over the edge at, like, the ant-like people and cars going by on the street, I get this queasy feeling in my legs.
Okay.
My legs start going, hey, dude.
Would you ever go out onto one of those hotel pools that extend beyond the main wall of the hotel elevator?
Oh, I know what you're saying. I've not had the opportunity, so I don't know.
But would that trigger your fear of heights? Because you're swimming and you look down, and it's just like, well, that's like 50 stories.
Well, there's that glass thing that's at the Grand Canyon. You can just walk out on this glass.
Yeah.
And I think there's another one at the Empire State Building. You can go up in this, like, glass thing.
It's not that I can't conquer my fear because, like, I mean, I did all sorts of stuff. Like, when I was a carny dude, I had to, like, climb up this thing called the giant wheel. It was
Make out with the bearded 100, lady.
150-foot, gondola wheel. And I had to go up one side of the axle with a giant torque wrench.
Okay.
And then another guy came up the other side, and we had to torque the axle bolts every morning to spec.
Whoa. Okay.
And so that was this little tiny, it wasn't maybe 2 feet wide ladder. We had no safety equipment, no harness, nothing. And I'm carrying basically a giant ratchet, right? And the other guy's got a giant box wrench.
Okay.
Right. And so, he's on one side, I'm on the other. We torque the wheel. There's a third guy down the bottom moving the wheel. And then we torque the next bolt. He moves the wheel. We torque. And it takes an hour or something just to do that.
Okay.
But it's still scary AF.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I think now they demand the safety harness.
Wouldn't it be easier if you tighten them on the bottom, then move the thing up instead of going all the way to the top? I mean, the top.
As long as they're going to rotate it, just stay on the ground.
Stay on the ground.
That's a good point, but the axle's in the middle.
Oh, okay.
So you have to go halfway up.
Halfway. I got you. Okay. I thought you were tweaking the cars.
No. Okay. The axle
Those are
bolts.
Just loose.
There's one axle.
We don't have to check those.
A gondola wheel is a Ferris wheel, but it's got the hot tub looking things with the umbrella over it.
Right.
Instead of the seats where only like two or three people can sit.
Yeah, you can get eight people.
Yeah, eight or nine people into one of these hot tub looking things.
That would be cool if it was an actual hot tub now. How come no one's done that?
The hot tub gondola.
Hot tub Ferris wheel?
The hot tub gondola wheel time machine.
On top of the Statue of Liberty. During a lightning storm.
Getting hit by lightning.
You're going to love it.
While drinking the blood. What was it? The blood of the innocents?
The blood of the innocents. Infused by the blood of the innocents.
I think we've
how the politicians stay so young.
Good days. Good days.
Our number two story today.
Oh, we have a number two story.
Oh, is this
story.
About the U.S. dollar?
We actually, we have a couple of number
the
two
The double
stories.
Flush.
It could be a double flush. We're going to start with FDA warning over gut-boosting pills that contain other people's poo amid links to deadly bacterial infections.
Okay.
What can go wrong?
I feel like this has partially been covered in the past.
That's a run-on sentence, and this is from April of 2024. So,
that's this month.
Yep. That's a couple days
ago. And the 6th, so that's yesterday.
Well, I mean, okay. So
I also feel like the other number two story was covered as well, but I looked at the date, and it's also like yesterday.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying it's new, it's not a new story. I'm saying I've heard like things like this in the past.
And we may have covered it before. I don't know.
They've done, you know, the fecal transfusions, right? They take someone else's poop and put it in where your poop's supposed to be. And
why would you do that?
Because the microbes and the probiotics in there are different. And so it's supposed to be a health transfer. Wow.
You might not. This is the article.
Okay.
You might not think that eating poo sounds like a good idea.
No.
Generally, no.
You might not think that.
Unless you're a beagle.
But put it in pill form.
Oh, yeah, I'll take a pill.
But it is, in fact, an emerging and even popular wellness trend.
Okay. So was drinking your own urine for a while.
Yeah. Yes, the new frontier of the gut health craze involves taking pills that contain other people's fecal matter.
Let me interject real quick, because another thing that I read recently was kombucha acts as a fat burner without the exercise.
I've heard that it helps in weight loss.
Right.
Because it's a brewed thing.
Well, and it's the probiotics and the microbes in there.
Right.
Like acts as a fat burner without having to do anything else except drink the kombucha. So
that
probably doesn't taste like poo.
But I don't know like how true that is. Like I know a bunch of people who are fans of kombucha.
Okay.
Kombucha. But like, you know, I didn't notice any weight loss.
They might not been doing, if people, you know, it's probably one of those things like as a part of your daily weight loss regimen.
I know people who like, you know, they're into working out a bunch. They do a bunch of cardio, right? Yeah. That kind of stuff. They do the kombucha, but they also do other things. They're on, you know, keto or whatever, you know, they're doing other stuff. So
I'm just saying, if you're trying to get healthy, maybe do that before you eat the poop.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. It depends on your goals.
Sure.
Who's the doctor, okay?
Who's the doctor here, right here?
Who's the barber?
Take whatever medical advice you want. I have drinking kombucha, and I don't want to taste any more poop.
Yeah, no, certainly not. The new frontier health got crazy.
At least they're pills, not chewables.
Oh, gosh. My God.
Swallow that.
Is there a picture? Are they brown pills?
The brown pill.
Oh, man, there is a picture.
You got to put it in the cellular thing yourself and spill a little bit on your fingers.
No, in a chewable tablet.
Oh, no, no. They don't show a picture of they don't show a picture of the pills. They show a picture of
Flintstones brand for
kids. No, it's like the medical, I'm going to call these syringes.
Oh.
But they're not syringes. They're, you know, they're what they
like a turkey baster?
IV?
The caption of this photo reads, "This is an example of what FMT in an enema or colonoscopy form looks like when used in a hospital setting." So it's just what it looks like when they withdraw the poo. So I can't really get more descriptive than that.
Can I get paid to donate my poo?
Yeah, only if you drink kombucha.
Man,
okay.
If you could, then we are all 3D printers. Right.
You're going to be a millionaire.
I got wealth I didn't even know about.
How much are they offering?
For this, what did that guy do for
this guy microbes?
That guy didn't do S for a living. Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
And that's all he did. Hey, if you can be an Instagram influencer, I can be a poop provider.
There's a guy. So back in the day, I rented a house with like a bunch of musicians so that we could all become rock stars, which never happened. We rented the house, but the rock star part never happened. But we all partied like rock stars while we were there. One of the guys, his nickname was S Machine, except the word, not
the
letter.
Yes.
Because, like, you know, it'd be about time for you to use the John.
He always beat you.
And the other guys in there already, like, dude, how long are you going to be? I don't know, man. Like, you know. And it happened to, like, if it was four people in the house, it happened to the other three almost daily. Right. And like not even at the same times of day. It was just like randomly.
He just hung out in there waiting for someone to knock on the door.
Or he had something wrong with his insides that made him, you know, excrete.
IBS is a thing.
Yeah.
It's now a medical thing.
Imagine how much money that guy could make.
Right.
You know. Anyway, said to be both potentially deadly. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase this. Said to both cure potentially deadly digestive infections and ease common complaints like constipation, so-called fecal microbiota transplants have emerged out of the lab and are now available to use at home.
So it's a home kit.
Free, now available without a prescription.
Free Talk Live now has a home game. If you couldn't be with us here in studio, you can always take home this complimentary Free Talk Live home game.
Captain Kickass branded enema.
Yeah.
He's an enema of the state.
Enema of the state, right. Who flung poo? Companies offering this service take healthy poo containing gut-boosting bugs from a donor and process it into a pill.
I'm fairly regular. Healthy poo.
How big is the capsule?
It's a suppository. Good news, everyone.
Oh, it's you don't actually eat it.
Is that an innuendo?
It's actually no. It's a phrase from Futurama.
Okay.
The scientist, I can't remember his name, but like he's holding up this big giant dinosaur looking egg thing, and he goes, "Good news, everyone! It's a suppository."
Innuendo is an Italian suppository.
Innuendo.
One firm, Human Microbes, offers $100 poop enemas and $10 poop pills that could potentially treat everything from IBS to diabetes to Alzheimer's.
So they're like Goodwill. They're taking poo donations and then selling it back to people.
Hmm. Seems
that
to
doesn't
be,
seem right.
Although, like,
you'd
I
have
mean,
to purchase it.
That's one hell of a markup, right? Your source material is free.
That's how Goodwill does it.
Yeah.
However, experts have warned that there are serious risks linked to the bizarre medication, including potentially deadly infections. Potentially nasty germs may be lurking in the donor's specimen and, due to a lack of regulation, remain hidden. Right. Because it's nothing to do with science. It has to do with, it's not regulated. It's dangerous.
That's what they would like you to think.
They would. And so Dr. Vincent B. Young, a professor of infectious diseases at the University of Michigan, told the Daily Mail, "There are risks to giving feces to someone as you're giving all sorts of bacteria, which could include a pathogen. If the poop product isn't properly screened, you could open them to many other diseases that they didn't have the risk for previously. This includes pneumonia, E. coli, monkeypox, COVID, and Ebola.
Cerveza sickness.
Do you remember when
they throw COVID in there?
Do you remember before the internet when it was just Bola,
and then became Ebola?
That's right.
Okay,
and everything became E after the internet, email, e-fax, and e-everything.
How did the Africans get it first then?
I don't know.
They barely have regular mail.
Yeah. Well,
or was it Bola there, and then when we got it, it was Ebola?
Yeah.
The product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease. According to the FDA.
It's just a poop transfer.
Right.
Well, then, like, why skip? You know, why go through the middleman? Why pay money when you could just, you know, source it yourself?
I mean, I pay a little bit to not get my hands dirty.
Right, but, okay, all right. But, I mean, don't you want to be sure that it's sourced organically?
You got to get local poo?
And that it's, local poo. Yeah.
If you get poo from somewhere else, I'm like, who knows what that is.
And that it's like from, like, grass.
Do we have to register
grass
that fed? Now?
Grass-fed people, right? Not corn-fed.
Only from vegans.
Strict kombucha diet.
Why is there so much corn and oats in this one?
I'm not adding Colonel to my name. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Raw vegan poo diet.
Indeed, one patient who underwent an experimental treatment with FMT to treat a stem cell transplant gone wrong in 2019 died after he was implanted with a sample that contained an antibiotic-resistant strain of E. coli. Despite this, the FDA approved this first of its kind treatment last year.
Wait, I thought it wasn't FDA approved a minute ago.
It just said it lacked regulation.
Oh, okay.
So apparently the FDA did approve the first of its kind treatment last year, fueling the fire.
So FDA is not regulation? All right, carry on.
They're not the Federal Department of Regulation. They're the Federal something administration, right?
Okay.
It's the A, isn't it? I don't know. What does FDA stand for?
Food and Drug Administration. Administration.
Administration?
Food and Drug Administration.
Or association.
Whatever.
Rectangle?
I think it's administration.
Let's go to the magic rectangle.
I am going to the magic rectangle right now.
So the FDA approved this first of its kind treatment last year, fueling the fire of at-home fecal transplant fanatics.
There's fanatics?
Yeah.
How big is that group on Facebook?
There's a link to it, too. I got to see this.
I got my California sample right here, man.
Fanatics.
Unvaxxed poo.
You know.
Have you gotten all your shots, bro?
All 12 of them.
I was thinking this story sounded familiar.
That's what I said in the beginning.
But like, it's. I think we covered this other story that's
linked. When,
that was linked in it.
Okay.
To homemade fecal transplants from my husband cured my ulcerative colitis after 15 years of pain.
At least that's keeping it in the family.
But
that's as locally sourced as it gets.
I don't know why they're calling these people fanatics, and like they made it sound like I was going to be linked to like you thought a Facebook group or something, but no.
It is the Food and Drug Administration.gov.
Administration. So they just administer. They don't regulate.
Got it. All right.
They might administer the regulation. I'm not sure how that works. But at any rate.
You have to get someone from the FDA to come and do the transfer for you? We've got a hospital setting in the van out back.
Of course you do. I would
just come this way. Right this way, sir.
The van says free candy.
I really want a van. I want the rape van, and I'm just going to spray paint free candy on the side of it.
Why?
Well, because it's funny, number one, and then I'll just have like a bucket of lollipops just in case someone actually calls me on it. Sucker.
Sucker. All right. Now health officials have raised the alarm about a company buying and selling poop and FMT products. Human Microbes claims that its products manufactured from its pool of poo super donors. Super donors.
Super duper.
Super, super, super duper pooper scooper?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Might help you cure your ailments in the comfort of your own home. But the U.S.
Or
FDA,
you might die.
Right, yeah. Hey, this might cure you. Or you might die. What do you think?
Flip side effects include death by Ebola.
The FDA has issued a stark warning against human microbes. So they're going after this organization specifically, not the whole industry.
The whole? They're not going after the whole?
The whole industry? Yeah, we'll be wiping that up later. Citing their products aren't regulated and that they make false claims that could harm consumers. The FDA's letter said the company's products are not sufficiently screened before being sold to customers and therefore represent significant safety concerns.
What is the FDA doing then? If they approved it?
Yeah, why would they approve it if there's... Yeah.
Like, I'm not for the FDA, right? But if they're making the claim that no, this is okay.
Oh, they didn't approve this specific organizations. They approved
the category,
right? And so, okay. Human microbes products are made by taking healthy donor poo, mixing it with saline and thickeners like maltodextrin, putting it into capsules or enemas.
Kind of healthy poo does need a thickener.
Human microbes shared on a company
a
YouTube
capsule.
Video. they shared their
YouTube
technique.
Allows this? Okay.
I am surprised that they shared it on a company YouTube video. The FDA approved FMT treatment called Rebiota. That's right.
Now they're just making up words.
But their manufacturing process is done in a lab regulated by the FDA and sold by prescription to be used under medical supervision. Human microbes products are available for purchase outside of that structure.
Okay.
It's a free market instead of a regulated market. Right?
All right.
They didn't jump through. They didn't get a license for their poo pills.
I only want the FDA approved poo pills.
I don't want either, actually. Okay. But that's just me.
If you had to pick...
I'd take the unregulated.
Okay.
Human microbes. Not GMO. Human microbes. It's non-GMO. Jesus. Wow. The puns are endless here. Human microbes provides the ingredients to you via DIY.
Wait, the ingredients?
FMT.
They don't just give you the pill?
You got to
compile this yourself?
I'm just reading what's in front of me.
Give you the source code you have to compile?
Yeah. Human microbes provides the ingredients for you to DIY FMT. With oversight,
a lot of acronyms.
With oversight from your doctor, its website reads, FMT, that's fecal matter treatment, I believe, has generally been done as a medical procedure in a hospital, but since you can get better results and lower costs from the comfort of your own home, that seems like the optimal choice.
I mean, hospital is going to be expensive.
Yeah. In order for human microbes to continue selling products, they would have to go through the FDA's regulatory process.
Yeah.
black market FMT dealers just hiding out at public bathrooms.
Right. People getting on tour. Can I get some FMT, man? I got some crypto, man.
This is why they need to regulate Bitcoin.
Yeah.
They either have
can't
to
be using it for this purchase.
Let's not give them any ideas.
BTC for what is it?
FMT.
FMT for BTC.
Where's Monero?
Where's Monero?
Where's Monero? We finally have a practical application for Monero, and it's been taken over and turned into something else.
The state's already grabbed hold of it.
No, it's some people are, I think it's DragonX now.
Okay. Not the Monero, but the state's gotten hold of the industry.
Oh, yeah. So it says in order for human microbes to continue to selling their products, they must go through the regulatory process or remove mention of fecal microbiota transplant from its website. So no mention of FMT. Founder Michael Harrop told the Daily Mail by email, this oversight would disrupt their mission to provide a widely available pool of poo donors to the public who, like him, may be seeking FMT treatments to treat a host of conditions, he said.
Just migrated to South America. There's less regulation there.
Yeah, just get the FDA out of the way, and you can be in business.
A trip to Peru.
El Salvador?
What about, so you know how, like, if you go to Mexico and drink the water, you get Montezuma's Revenge?
I'm familiar with
the AKA the diarrheas.
I've never been to Mexico, but I'm familiar with this.
Okay,
with that.
So that's the tale anyway. Now, what if you went to Mexico and you took one of these pills and it got rid of the Montezuma's Revenge?
But as long as it's locally sourced poo.
But if you took the pill with the water, what would happen?
We need to experiment on this.
We need to experiment. Not FDA approved.
If you're in Mexico and would like to experiment with this, 603-283-6160.
Call collect.
Or better yet, no, don't call
collect. No, don't call. I don't know. Is that a thing anymore?
It is a thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah?
It is. I've gotten some calls from jail where it's like,
Even the jail calls, it's like a prepaid call.
Yeah. I mean, if you're calling from Mexico with this breaking information, I mean, we could all put up a couple gold backs for the call.
Yeah, that's true.
It better be a good call.
Harrop said the FDA's current guidelines are very restrictive. Of course they are. Arguably inappropriate for FMT and the Human Microbes Project. If they insist, it will likely kill this project, which is probably what they're trying to do.
As it is, it does seem wholly inappropriate from the get-go. Right? Like, this is weird. But if it works for you, if you notice a difference, like, by all means, have fun.
I mean, like, there's a bunch of these, I don't know what to call them, unregulated medical practices, right? Healers who, you know, homeopathy, trying to think of some of the others, but like...
Biohacking,
Reiki. Yeah, there's all these things that, like, aren't regulated or whatever, but like... If you have some ailment and it helps you, who am I to tell you no, you can't do that? Who's the FDA to tell this guy no, he can't do his business? 603-283-6160.
Literally, his business.
Hour number two of Free Talk Live is coming up.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
And we're back. Yes, it is Free Talk Live. We are the most rated talk radio show on radio.
Yep.
I agree with that.
I mean,
the most rated.
The most rated. Yeah. Yes. The number one most rated talk show.
Not the highest rated.
I don't know if you can disagree with it, right? Like, is there evidence that a radio show has been rated
more
frequently, more often?
Oh, rated with a D.
Rated,
most
yes.
rated.
We are the most rated talk program.
Yeah.
Talk show on the radio.
Next to that newspaper, I think, in Kansas City.
Yeah. We talked about that a little.
But that's not a radio station.
No, it's a newspaper, which, you know, might as well be dead.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, there are people that say the same about radio, so that's not...
Even radio themselves, like...
Podcast.
I went to a seminar with a bunch of, like, radio people. It was, like, a presentation type thing about, like, how to maximize your value in the radio industry. And it was all about...
Be the last one remaining.
It was all about expanding into social media, TikTok, and, like, doing your own podcast and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Getting out of radio. That's how you make it in radio.
Or allowing radio to be, like, one piece of your brand. Right? You know what I mean? Right.
Now, to be fair, I came across Free Talk Live initially because, at the time, they were one of the few radio shows giving away the content via podcast.
Yeah.
Right. That wasn't a thing when I came across this show, and that's how I got it. Like, I didn't find it through normal Liberty channels. Right. Well, I'm in Hawaii. They weren't broadcasting in Hawaii at the time.
Right.
But it was like, oh, no, this is the new technology. These radio shows are going into podcasts, and they mentioned Free Talk Live. I don't know why specifically.
Yeah.
And I went to, you know, the Apple Podcast iTunes store and looked for Free Talk Live and started listening to it, and that was my introduction.
And now you're here.
And now I'm here.
And you're back.
And yeah. But still, you know, not through normal channels, but through alternative media like podcasts at the time.
Right, yep. Right.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like T-shirts and hoodies are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com.
Do they have kazoos? We gotta get the kazoo section.
I'll talk to Johnson. Maybe he can hook that up.
Get some Free Talk Live kazoos.
I don't know. Well, we'll see what happens. We have some calls to get to. We're gonna go. Hang on. I gotta check out.
The board is full.
I gotta do my. I gotta do math. I was told there would be no math.
One first caller.
Here we go. Here we go. Liberty Banker, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, my gosh. It is so nice to be on the most highly rated talk
rated.
Show.
Rated. Yes.
Rated. The number one most rated talk show on radio.
I love it. So, seriously, though, on a serious note, you know, as a past co-host of Free Talk Live, really sorry, you know, what's happened to Ian and Aria, and I wish them the best and can't wait till they get out, really.
Yeah. So. I wish I had an update for everybody, but I don't. And when we get one, well, we'll give it to you.
That's awesome. I'm glad he's, you know, got a bunch of people that are rooting for him in there while both of them are in there. So anyway, I was calling because I listened. I'm usually a podcast listener, and I listened to last Sunday's episode.
Yeah.
And Richie was saying that how he was looking for a really nice e-reader. And
he has a tablet
addiction, I think was the term you used. So I have a really good one that I'd like to recommend, and it's called the Remarkable 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen good things about that one. Yes.
It's got the number two in it.
It's got the number two. Yeah.
It's got a real paper feel to it, and it's just a really nice e-reader, and it might be what you're looking for.
It might be. You're right. Like, I've looked at it. I've looked at the accessories. The only reason I didn't pull the trigger on it is because of what you said. It's more of a note-taking app or more of a note-taking product. I'm like, well, I'm not going to use the note-taking features, but aside from that, it's a beautiful device. You're correct.
Can you explain to the Luddites what an e-reader is?
To read e-books. Like, my iPad mini doesn't work anymore, so I'm relegated to just my phone at the moment.
Okay.
But I want to read more, and my phone is insufficient for reading
e-books. Oh, so it just
e-books.
Turns it into audio.
No.
You sit there and look at your screen for a long time reading a book. It hurts your eyes.
And so I wanted the e-ink. Yeah.
Steve, do you know what the Amazon Kindle is?
Yes.
It's that, except a different brand and a different tech.
Okay.
So it's more for reading.
It's not a screen.
It is a screen.
Yeah. It is a screen. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's different. It's not like a LCD screen with bright lights. It's just black and white.
Black and white.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have color ones, but generally just black and white.
Just for reading. Oh, okay.
And again, I've got a ton of ebooks in various formats, And so I was like, I've been looking at a bunch of different ones, and I was asking for recommendations.
Oh.
And I did come across this Remarkable 2, and I don't want to say it was at like the top of my list because it wasn't the dedicated e-reader, but it's a beautiful device. You're
so
correct.
It's a device that
I'm
you can
you, even if you're not reading on it, or even if you're just reading on it and not taking notes, it's what you're looking for.
Okay, how's the weight on it? Because that was the other thing that I was like looking
at. It's really light. I mean, I don't know the exact weight, but it's really light, like less than your iPad Mini.
Is it breakable like a iPad would? Or
oh yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Don't drop it.
So do you have to have like a case for it to like?
They sell a case. They sell a case. It comes with a keyboard. You can do some typing on it, take notes.
I was thinking like I know that you do show prep frequently, Richie Rich. So maybe you know, the note taking feature would come in handy for your show prep.
Maybe because it's not like my show prep is from an RSS reader.
That's true.
And so I don't know if do you know if the Remarkable 2 has other apps available that would. Take an RSS feed.
There is no internet access. That's the one thing is, you know, sort of the versatility of it is not there. But it in terms of like uploading a PDF or some sort of ebook format, it'll take them.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's the one problem with the Kindle is it doesn't take EPUB.
Yeah.
It takes like Amazon things. And so like, all right, well, if I have to convert it, I will, but whatever.
Yeah. I was going
to
come through.
So how do you get documents to this thing? Just over Wi-Fi?
There's like
plug it into your computer.
PC. There's a program on your PC or an app on your phone that you could just like.
So it just shows up as a drive and just drag stuff over.
Yeah. Remind me again during the break and I'll show you. I'll show you it on the phone.
Libertarian Banker, you had something else to say about.
So I'll end with this. This is my number two story. And this may be more for the listeners who haven't been listening a while, but there was a male co-host and a female co-host on Free Talk Live back in the day that fell in love. I won't say their names.
Say their names. Call them out.
Well, I mean,
give us a hint.
Well, Daryl.
Can I buy a vowel? Really
don't say the other name, then.
Okay, then we know you're talking about. Go ahead.
Please don't say the other name. We don't need to summon witches.
There was a debate on Free Talk Live between a Nazi and one of the co-hosts who is a transvestite.
Christopher Cantwell and Aria.
Nazi versus tranny.
We'll say
and
those names.
This debate was highly, you know, controversial at the time, and that female co-host did not like what was happening and went out into the Free Talk Live parking lot and defecated on the Nazi's hood.
Did she actually do it? I thought it was a threat.
I'm just saying what I heard.
Okay.
So it's just a story. Okay. It may not even be true. It could be fictional.
Well,
I don't know. It's just a story.
What I know of the story is she made the threat, and that upset Cantwell.
Well, let me finish the story.
I got it, but I also know the story.
He has to interject.
Well, okay. All right. Go ahead.
Go on, Liberty Bank.
No, that was it. That was my number two story. So if you have a different version,
it's not a different version. This is shortly thereafter. Is when I started, because my understanding of the events that transpired was she made a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Cantwell took that as an act of aggression because she threatened to harm his property, right? And took it up with Ian. Ian didn't like the fact, Jackie didn't like the fact that Ian was taking Cantwell. So I said the name, I summoned, right? And then threw a fit and was either terminated from or left voluntarily from the show. And took Daryl with her, either voluntarily or not, depending on whose version of the story you get. And once they left the show, right, I sent a message to Ian and Mark and said, hey, it looks like you're looking for co-hosts.
Yeah.
Give me a shot. And like a week later, I was on the show.
Nice.
So like that's was my way to get on.
So it's kind of like your number two story.
Sure.
You're there.
If she had never threatened to poop on Cantwell's car,
you wouldn't have
I wouldn't be. I probably wouldn't be here as quickly as I was.
And this is why doing the number two story when Richie Rich is here on Sundays is more important, because that's also his origin story.
But it really is. That is absolutely my origin
story.
He's
the number one, number two.
Libertarian Banker, any final thoughts?
Have a great night, gentlemen.
All right, thanks for the call, man. Call us again soon. We appreciate you.
And at the time, my Facebook profile still said Hawaii, so Mark was like, well, you kind of got to be here. I'm like, I already am. I've been to the meetup in Keene. I'm living in Manchester. You know, like, just give me a chance.
Since Richie Rich is on a roll, let's go to Ricky from the Commonwealth calling. You're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, good. Still alive.
Thank you there, brother, Captain. Brother Steve, Brother Richard, good evening. You make my heart go bumpity, 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 ooh. No doubt.
Hey, now.
Now.
It's not matchmaking, you know, talk live.
Well, you know, I just thought of something fascinating that never occurred to me. As I sit here, and I'm realizing this, I'm Generation X, and I have wrapped around me an X. That thought never occurred to me.
Okay. And that would be the
battle flag.
Yeah.
I never thought of it, you know? And that's, and I'm going
the flag of Southern this, surrender.
The matter. Well,
wait, huh? Is the battle flag really an X, or is it just like a T?
It's a cross. Yeah. No, it's not a T.
It's an elongated cross in actuality.
It's from corner to corner.
Yeah. Okay. It's
bars and bars.
So it looks like an X.
It's
kind
hardcore,
of.
No doubt. You know, and, you know, all most people like, and I generally have very few problems. But I will tell you this. It's really interesting. I thought about this. You know, I think something I wanted to add to this. See, really what the man fears, and I think Captain will agree with this, when it comes to Generation X, see, we are right now at the prime age taking power in the government at this point. Myself, they're going to be throwing my hat in the ring in the future.
So far, not agreeing.
You know?
Okay.
I think there's too many octogenarians in the government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Well, no, but Generation X is a whole different breed. Imagine if you got a bunch of Ricky from the Commonwealth or a certain ilk. You know, we're tired of it. I mean, hey, I want to blow the U.S. Constitution away.
Drop some names. Like who in the current Senate or House is of Generation X that you're thinking is?
Well, no, I don't know about the federal government, but I'm saying
local government.
That's where it's starting to happen.
I don't pay attention to that.
You know, in local government.
Do you see that around here? Rand Paul?
I'm curious to know, like, how many of the movers to New Hampshire for the larger freedom movement, Free State Project, all that kind of stuff. How many of them?
Because we're having a
what percentage are Gen X?
Definitely.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, look at the age of people like Biden and Trump, and even younger than that. You know, they're on their way out. You know,
they're on their way back in for another four years. You know, like.
Yeah, but they may not even live that long. I hope they do. You know, I don't want to wish bad on anybody, you know. But, I mean, they're old, you know. They're getting older. And it's a changing of the guard. Within the next 10 years, you're not even going to recognize.
It's keeping the guard the exact same as it has been for the last 10 years.
Well, I think it might be something a little different. Now, I will say, when you get to the federal level, it's completely hopeless.
Well, that's what
but
I'm talking about.
But I will say, like in New Hampshire here in Pennsylvania. Well, in New Hampshire or here in Pennsylvania, one thing you can do is you can, within your state or in my case, your Commonwealth, you can make a difference. And I think you guys have said that many a time. There's an old saying, the only way to change the system is from inside the system. You know, you can't change it from outside. People tried that, you know, and you got to just get some people to stand up like myself that can't be compromised.
There's people that have tried it from the inside too with equally dismal results. So
yeah, I mean, I've tried it from the inside, and it's coming from working for myself, being in my own business, and then being involved on a board of selectmen where you're dealing with. We have to have a blue ribbon commission to do this.
Was this here or in Connecticut?
This is in Connecticut.
Okay.
So if you want to, for instance, there was a contamination. A well was contaminated on a site. Okay, my solution is. Let's drill a new well.
Mm-hmm.
No, can't do that. We've got to go through a feasibility study. We have to go through sample testing. We've got bids. Like, it's just nuts.
We have to dance like monkeys.
Yeah, and we have to, you know, bring this, and they have to go to a vote. It's so backwards. Government is just so oppositive.
I think it was a Molyneux quote.
Okay.
I like to say it frequently because it hits home for me. Joining the government and trying to change it from the inside is akin to joining the mafia and trying to turn it into a charity organization.
Very true.
Yeah,
very
but true. Just a second. There's another thought. See, I'm trying to change it in a different kind of way because I'm looking to blow the federal government away. Now, that's something completely different in the form of change.
And by blow the federal government away, you mean abolish it as an organization altogether?
Absolutely. Bye-bye, baby. And I have a very creative way of doing that. And the fact of the matter is...
Well, C4 you know, and liquid nitrogen.
Yeah. Let's be careful what we're saying here, folks. This is being transcribed, okay?
Well, I'll give you one hint. I mean, I'm not going to tell you everything, but you know, I am going to be using our Constitution once I get into the lobby, my housemates. But one thing I'll point out is one everybody knows is just one section alone, but there's a lot more I'm going to utilize, and that's Section 2 of Article 1. And that, to paraphrase part of it, it says that the people have the right to modify, reform, or abolish their government at all times. Now, that's a direct result of Thomas Jefferson himself in the Pennsylvania Constitution. A lot of people don't realize that. And I think that's phenomenal. But there's more than that. And I know walking the street every day, and I walk around in my battle flag, and people know me when they see me. And the fact of the matter is, you know, things have changed since 17. I mean, one, I learned a lot when I was kind of just screwing around in 17. I learned how easy it is to win. Second of all, more importantly, I see people have changed. They're not afraid anymore. They seem more afraid of the idea of secession than they're not anymore. When I talk to them, they seem psyched up.
Good.
You know, yeah. And I think that's a very good thing. I mean, this is the feedback I'm getting walking out and about. Very different. They're not. It was easy for them to talk to me, but now they don't have a problem talking in front of other people saying about blowing said U.S. Constitution away. And they, when they see this battle flag, to them it represents the same thing it did 160 years ago, because there's a direct tie, you know, between the South and Pennsylvania, you know, not only South Carolina, but Virginia. I mean, I'm very optimistic. You know, and I get the best campaign manager. His name is Ricky Too. He spells it R-I-C-K-E-Y. He's 40. You know, and I'm going to give it my best. And I will tell you, I won't forget my friends in New Hampshire, you know, if I'm so lucky to win. And not only that, I think on the way, because I see a lot more commonalities between New Hampshire and Pennsylvania more than I do, say, this state and that state.
More concerned that you survive long enough to put your dash into escrow.
Yeah, that was you were summoned
now,
tonight.
Okay. Oh, yeah, onto that. Now, wait a minute. I'm working on that. Now, I did have until the beginning of 2025. Hey, what is
your
dash at right now, Richie? You've been bragging about that. What's it up to?
Like $40?
$37.50.
Okay.
Well, that ain't so bad. That's all right.
Well, it has gone up since the bet was confirmed. So if you haven't gotten
It's confirmed. Oh, you think I'm watching on my bet, Richie?
No, what I'm telling you is if you wait longer to purchase your dash, you're going to end up with less dash for your dollars.
Well, I understand that. Now, Let me see here. Now, I'm new to this whole crypto stuff. I got to do some research on it and figure it out.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I know that Brother Riley, he uses the Dash wallet, so I'm sure I can do it, you know. But the question I have is, now once we do it, I buy the dash. Are we then going to what do you do? And then put it into escrow with Peekless. Is that
right.
The idea?
Like if you trust Peekless, I trust Peekless. And so we're going to give him the dash, and he is going to hold it and disperse it to the winner.
I'm fine and good with that.
Okay.
So what Richie's just trying to get at is if you buy your dash now, it's likely going to cost you less dollars than if you wait to buy it.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Well, it's been so long since I heard from Ricky,
I wasn't sure.
No, I know. I've been out of town and also I'm in the process of moving.
All right.
I'm working on that. I'm going to different living conditions into another area. And part of the things is moving back to District 189 to run for the seat because you got to live there.
Okay.
You know? That's which I can understand that rule.
That was my only concern.
Oh, no, we're all good, and I appreciate that. It's very decent of you there, Brother Richie. And, you know, I remember a funny story, actually. I remember after when I disappeared, and I do promise Brother Ian, when he gets out of prison, I'm going to tell the story about my disappearance. I've rehearsed it plenty with other people, but the time wasn't good. But, yeah, at the beginning of 18, I disappeared. And I remember when I came back after 5 years. You know, and I said to Brother Ian, just out of curiosity, what did they say about me? And I guess it was in the old forums. Basically, the general consensus was Ricky from the Commonwealth was dead and the deep state finally got him. not yet. But, you know, I am probably a little crazy because I run around picking a fight with the state. You know, and the state's not fun. I've danced with the deep state. It's not a fun thing to play with.
One more reason that it's just my general preference that you put that dash in escrow sooner rather than later. I mean, you have the deadline, but doesn't mean you have to wait for the deadline.
Richie, I appreciate that, you know, and I'm going to do that as soon as I'm able to, but I'm in the process of moving.
All right, yeah, no worries.
But I will do that as soon as I can. And now once I, how do I, when I get the dash, is he got it? I guess I'll contact you guys and then you'll give me the information.
Yeah, we'll put you in contact with Peakless about how to, you know, move the dash from your wallet to his wallet. We'll send you an address to do that, and then he'll be able to confirm that it was received, and then it'll be his responsibility to sit on it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this is really fun, and I can't think of a better way to introduce me to cryptocurrency.
There you go.
Yeah, and our listeners too, right? You know. So,
and we've been advertising it for months.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's a fun thing for the listeners too. You know, it's going to be fun, and you know, we can watch it between now and the deadline. We can watch the news, and every day there seems to be signs this and that of these things maybe coming to pass. It all comes down to if the timing's right, you know, like, Brother Richie?
Like lightning hitting the Statue of Liberty, perhaps?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the timing is
600 times a year. Did you know that? I looked that up on the Magic Rectangle.
Nice.
Well, it's like more than once a day.
Like, yeah. Like what's going on in Israel, the things going on in Israel.
Yeah.
What about the earthquake? Did you feel the earthquake, Ricky?
The solar earthquake?
I did not.
Okay.
Tomorrow we're going to have another one.
Like a 4.8 base out of New Jersey.
Okay.
I'm familiar with this stuff because
I didn't get that.
I'm familiar with this kind of stuff because I used to live in Seattle, and I was through the Nisqually quake, which was 8.9 maybe. I don't know. It was a big one.
There was we felt one in Spokane when I was in college.
Okay.
That was my first earthquake, wasn't that thing?
Hey, Ricky, thank you for the call, man. We appreciate you. Feel free to call again, 603-283-6160 if you would like to join us here on Free Talk Live. We've got more coming up for you. Will we do a double flush? Is it the night for the trifecta?
Whoa.
We don't know. We'll let you know. Coming up.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. Bitrefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. But what about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org. Disharmonic Orchestra. That's right.
Yes, we're back.
And again, we're back. We're still back.
We're back.
Fronts don't count.
Stop fronting.
And we are not front.
We are not front.
It's Free Talk Live. The telephone number 603-283-6160.
Oh.
Ow. Ow.
Oh. Show my O face. Jinx.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. All right, we got more to talk about, but first let's go to Jet calling. Jet, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, well, you know how I like to talk about people are just people and humans are just humans and all that?
Nope, never heard of it.
And some are more human and people than others.
Human people?
I'm just kidding.
Humans? Some of them are lizards.
People with extra people moisture? People. Humid people?
Yes, the humid, the ones from Houston. But I had to drop off for a second because I drank some kombucha, and my heart started to race. So I don't know what the deal is with that. I do drink some of that every day.
Was that a legitimate thing? Like, did you literally have, like, did your heart rate elevate after drinking some kombucha, or is that for comedic effect?
I don't know if it was already elevated before, and it's still not under 100, so I'll keep an eye on it. Anyway, I want to get to those people that call themselves they are asses, this lack of weight loss, you know, from the kombucha thing and the apple cider vinegar, it could have been offset by the half a dozen cookies I eat every day. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can find the headline, because I get it that you have to do other things in addition to, but the kombucha aspect of it was specifically like, it will burn the fat with nothing else. So if you continually add fat,
I mean, please do, right, because you might have a problem. I'm a man of heft and I can use all the help I can get.
Okay. Well, then I will talk about the VR asses, normally referred to as the IR asses, but they don't know how to do that grammatically. We are in the midst of the tax terrorism season, which is about to wrap up here in about a week and a day. And in line with this thing that people are just people and humans are just humans, the only real evil that stands in the way of personal freedoms and other types of liberty is this thing called taxation. If we didn't have that, and people could, you know, make their personal exchanges as they needed to, and eliminated some of these overseers, I mean, we could have a lot more liberty. But what I wanted to mention most of all, the worst part of this whole scenario is that these humans who are now within this evil organization, both the collectors, the enforcers, you know, the rulemakers, all that stuff, they're not the same people as they were yesterday. In other words, a lot of them have, let's say, quit or been fired, or they retire or they die. But that's the scary part. Someone else is already there, ready and willing to take their place, to come in and hold this or continue the evil cycle.
Yeah.
That's the thing that most people don't realize is that.
Let me also point out real quick that the Germans are still taking Nazis to trial for their participation in the extermination of the Jews. Right. So like you don't get to run away from this just because you've gotten older in the future or retired or quit, right, or got fired. Like, you were still a part of it.
Yeah. Or statute of limitations.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, but there ought not be,
right,
you know, in our liberty future.
Well, and Jet points out a very good point that there is a long line of tyrants waiting for their chance to take off.
Right. So you have to eliminate the current and then try the former.
Well, every so often I go into the Walmart and there's somebody there that's already set up. You know, they have their little booth where you can sit down and they'll help you get robbed, so to speak.
Right.
And
Liberty Tax Service.
Liberty.
Yes, you can drive down the street and there'll be this clown dressed in this Statue of Liberty.
Yeah,
suit.
And they're waving you in. Liberty, come on in.
Someone should hit him with some lightning.
Liberty Tax. If that's not a contradiction of terms, what is?
I wonder if you could name your tax agency like Mafia Tax or something like that, right? Just to compete with Liberty Tax, right? Just...
Mafia Tax.
We'll do your taxes or else.
We'll charge you
15%. That's essentially what it is. That's essentially what it is the Mafia, because how else have you heard, give me your monies or we will hurt you, you know, that type of thing.
Right, yeah. try not paying your taxes, see who shows up at your door.
Yeah, it's interesting to
see.
Go ahead.
I'm one of those who can kind of brag about not paying those taxes. But it's been 45 years now since I did one of those things.
Woohoo! Nice.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
I'll applaud that.
But
need to write an ebook for Richard.
Well, that's because I worked a lot of contracts and other types of personal exchanges, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a lot easier when you're 1099. But,
yeah.
But the main deal I wanted to emphasize is that these people are never the same, whether you think about it as police or legislators or governors or presidents, obviously presidents, they're not the same people as they were yesterday. And if more people, more regular people, let's put it this way, average people, those being robbed, would think of it that way, it would help them, because that's the major point of view that I think someone has to take to be able to achieve freedom, is to view these other people as just other failed flesh and blood humans who have no more right to do anything than anybody else. And that's the main point I wanted to make today.
So, I mean, we can touch on the rights thing, and this is always a point of contention, right? It's not that they have the right, it's that they will exercise the violence.
Right.
And they will do it with impunity.
Okay, privilege.
Right. So, and rights and privileges are synonyms. You know, you have a right, you the rights are granted, or you have a privilege, or, you know, it's bestowed on you by the creator, if you believe in that sort of thing. But it is they have it because they're willing to exercise it.
Right.
Right. They have chosen that path. Go ahead, Jet.
I would interject the word usurped. In other words, they have this so-called, in quotes, power because they have usurped it. They have simply walked it in and said, I now have the power, you will obey me, you will bow down.
Yeah, well, okay. And the only thing I will object to that is they do so specifically because those that they are victimizing do not defend themselves against that encroachment.
Right. Well, and like you have to remember what gives the agency known as government their power, and that is their willingness to initiate the violence. Like,
yes,
if I walk into Vermont, right, the state next door here, and I go, I am now the king of Vermont. You must all bow down and obey me. There's going to be a chorus of laughter. Right, because right. I don't have, you know, any military behind me. I don't have a bunch of men with guns. I'm not willing to start killing people because they refuse to obey me. Right?
But if you did start the killing, people will fall in line because they don't want to then be killed.
Right, some people. Right, right.
Well, and if no one defends against you and puts you down,
yeah.
Right, you will sooner or later become the king of Vermont. De facto, because you are willing to use that violence to attain the goal, and they're not willing to defend against you with similar violence.
Why would you want to do
just
that?
Just to be clear,
though?
I'm not. So.
Well, it has,
don't go to Vermont.
It hasn't been that long. It hasn't been that long since that was the actual case where the only way people came into power was through conquering.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, just look at Haiti now, right?
I mean, it's still the way they come into power, right? Just it's on a different level now. It's on a macro level.
And that's why I'm always one for, like, defense. You have to be, if you claim something to be yours, you have to defend it from someone else who's making an alternative claim, right? If Captain comes onto my property and says, like, I'm the king of Rich's property, right? Either I go, like, yep, you got it, because I don't want to die, or we fight, right? Like, that's the two options.
Yep.
Or Captain acquiesces and goes like, no, I'm just kidding, bro, and like leaves me alone.
Psych.
Right? Like there's not a lot of options there. You either fight to defend it and he fights to obtain it, right? Or one side acquiesces to the other and whoever doesn't acquiesce wins.
Jet?
Well, that's my main elevator speech is that no matter who it is, they're just another person who has... what word should we use then instead of rights, privileges?
Those are synonyms. They have it because they have the privilege because they're willing to exercise the violence. Like, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, and that's the case. They only exist in those roles because of their willingness to do violence. And that's the thing that I like to get across to people, is that we wouldn't have even corrupt cops or any of this stuff if there weren't people willing to do violence against you.
Yeah. And, well, but you're not going to get rid of those people, right? There's no libertarian utopian society where there aren't bad people willing and able to commit the violence. It's the opposition to it that needs to increase, which is why I'm in the minority opinion on this show, but I am not peaceful, right? There has to be a defense against those encroachments. And that defense, I'm sorry, is going to be violent.
Right, but you can contain the violence.
Yes.
Personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you want to get rid of corrupt cops, right, those that are willing to do violence, right, you have to defend against their violence.
Right.
And there's only one way to do that.
Yeah.
It's with opposing violence, right? There's a story in Wikipedia or whatever, and it was an island nation, of pacifists. And over time, their population declined because they never fought back until they were like 5% of the population because they just kept getting murdered.
Like, I don't know that.
By people willing to do violence.
I don't know Highlander. That. I don't know that, defending yourself or defending others makes you not peaceful.
It definitely makes you violent.
Right. So, I mean, the non-aggression principle in and of itself is like, you can use violence defending yourself against other violence. So, like, yeah, morally, there's no question. That's fine. So I don't necessarily think that makes you not peaceful. It just makes you a little more logical, I think, than like a pacifist.
What I hear from other hosts on this show and have heard in the past, right, is the promotion of peace, and that is nonviolence. Right?
I mean,
we must go about these changes nonviolently.
It's my preferred method.
Yeah.
Understood.
Right. I like Buckminster Fuller's quote, which is like, you never change things by fighting the existing what is. In order to change the world, you must build something
better
that exceeds the current, build the future you want to be. And so that's why I'm a fan of things like cryptocurrency and stuff like that, because for the first time we have anarchic infrastructure.
Right. But those that do the violence will come for you.
They've shown they've had.
Right. So it's not like you can build it and it's the field of dreams and people are just going to come and make a natural transition. Yeah. There will be opposition.
Yes.
That opposition will be violent. And if you are not prepared to respond in kind, they're going to knock down your buildings and take over your industry and do whatever they can within the crypto.
They're going to put you on the U.S. dollar.
The U.S. government has has hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin.
Right,
that they have confiscated from otherwise peaceful people, right? They have taken it. It's not like they can't take my coins. They have Ian's Bitcoin. They have it. Part of the thing with his restitution is like, well, the government already has enough money to cover it because they confiscated his Bitcoin. They took it. It's not protected from them. They have it.
Do you think they would be stupid enough to turn that Bitcoin into cash?
When the price is right.
Just keep printing cash?
Do you think government understands what's going to happen with that? I highly doubt it.
If they release it onto the open market, they'll drive the price down. That's what will happen.
They just put $2 billion on.
Okay,
Coinbase.
Well,
point being, it's not protected. Like they will come for it, and they've proven that they can get it.
Go ahead, Jet. Passphrase.
Since it's Sunday, I just wanted to mention, as a Christian, I understand that this thing we call government is fully evil, that it was never intended that one human be able to rule over another. But the main problem is that whatever it is, whatever outcome you wish to gain or achieve, it all begins in your mind. It must be something that you have to resolve and settle in your mind first.
Yeah, and then the vast majority of people don't want to die, and so they pay their taxes to the crown, right? And they live relatively peacefully aside from that encroachment, right? They are not bothered by the biggest men with the biggest guns because they pay their fealty and they are allowed to exist otherwise.
Yeah, it used to be during the times of castles and knights and stuff like that, right? The king would send his tax collectors and a couple of enforcers house to house to collect the taxes, and if you didn't pay, they would do something, kill
take
you,
half your crop,
burn you, whatever, burn your house down, all that kind of stuff. We've all seen the stories and read the history books. So now it's just bureaucratized, right? Now it's a form that you fill out. Yeah. They don't actually send the armed dudes initially.
Oh, it's voluntary. Yeah, it's voluntary.
No,
fill out the form.
No. Make no mistake. Behind the form is definitely a gun.
I'm aware.
Pointed at you. I know you're aware. I'm mainly saying this for the listeners.
So the last thing I'll throw out is that taxation is slavery. It is nothing more, nothing less.
Jet, thank you for the call, man. We appreciate you. Feel free to call us again.
Can you imagine living next to your tax collector in town?
Oh, man, no.
And they're like the nicest person.
I can't. Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
When they don't put on the uniform,
right?
People are okay with them.
Right, at 5 o'clock, they check out, and they're normal.
Yeah, my uncle's a cop. He's the nicest guy in our family. Right? But my mom works at the DMV. She's not a bad person. Yeah, she is. Totally is.
She works for government.
She works for the government.
Yeah.
She is part of the mechanism that enslaves the rest of us.
Yeah, I've angered people. A friend of mine, his wife works in some government capacity. And
yeah.
I made mention that, you know, just working for the government makes you an a-hole. And,
yeah.
Well, she doesn't like me now.
I mean, people...
but you still don't like her.
People I liked her just fine, but I mentioned this. Just, yeah. You know, because we get to talk about things, right? You know, you talk about stuff with your friends, and I'm talking about my my approach, my non-aggression principle, my, you know, my anti... I favor abolishment of government as a...
Abolitionist.
Yeah, I'm an abolitionist and all this kind of stuff. And so she started asking questions, and I started saying, well...
I don't answer questions.
No, I started saying, well, any government entity, I don't care how docile it seems, is immoral because it takes money from other people without their consent, and then it keeps a whole bunch of money for themselves, hands you a paycheck, and you are living off of stolen money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So she's paying taxes on the money she makes.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a math problem that doesn't need to happen. But people, you know, people bring it up to me. They go, "So you don't like the police?" I go, "I don't even like public school teachers."
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They're not the enforcement arm, but they're just as bad.
Like, I don't like the parks department. Okay? Yeah. Right? Like, I'm against the parks department, right? Not because I'm against he must hate parks. Yeah. No, actually, I like parks, man. They're just fine. But parks exist in society. It can exist and do exist without government.
Yeah. Like the public employees paying taxes. Right. It's like them going to the cookie jar, taking like 15 cookies out of the jar, putting 5 back and saying like they're contributing to the cookie jar.
Right.
Like they're not. They're negative. They're net take 10, not net plus 5.
Yeah.
They took 15 and gave 5. You could just not take the 5 and they'd be just the same.
Like, what if you bring up that conversation with the government employee, what they would say?
No, because they want to be part of you, right? They want to be like the taxpaying American, right? That makes them equal.
Oh, okay.
Right, but they're not. They're not.
Because I'm paying your salary.
If anybody should be tax exempt, it should be government employees, because that's where the money comes from in the first place. Right. Their
buildings are tax exempt.
I'm trying to remember the exact phrasing and how it all went down, but I was at a party back in the Seattle area before I left. And one of the guys there was an aspiring attorney. He's in law school. He's almost done. I used one of the Mark Stevens arguments about like, well, why would you do that? Because your job is completely useless because he's going to go work for the government.
Yeah.
And he goes, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, government doesn't actually exist because, you know, in order for that to exist, you would need to have, I'm trying to remember the exact phrasing here. In order for the state requires you to give a duty of allegiance in exchange for a duty of protection.
Oh, the definition of being a citizenship.
Citizens, right.
Yeah.
So citizens don't actually exist because the government has repeatedly told us that they have no duty or responsibility to protect any of us at all. And so therefore, we don't have to provide a duty of allegiance to them. And thus, citizens don't actually exist.
It's a duty of allegiance in exchange for an obligation of protection.
Right.
Like, that's the contract.
Right.
And the government, in their own documents, have said we have no obligation to protect.
Right.
And if they're not going to fulfill their end, you don't have to fulfill your end and, you know, give them a duty of allegiance.
And so you could tell, like, the guy was skeptical, but he's thinking about it. And I was, you know, a little bit later, he comes up and he's like, yeah, you did a pretty good job of convincing me about that a little while ago. I'm going to think about that some more. Like,
you can turn one mind, right?
I mean, I checked the box on the form, but if people ask, like, so are you an American citizen? Like, well, they would say I am. Like, I know I'm not, but...
Right. I don't live in D.C.
That's the category that they would put me in.
Right.
Right.
So, whatever.
Yeah. A detained citizen, D.C.?
Detained citizens.
Washington, D.C.
It's not like on the form you can put, like, you know, that's what their label of me is, right? I mean, I guess I could write it in.
Other.
Yeah.
Other, yeah.
Yeah. So that's all very fun.
Yeah. It washes out the whole, you know, citizenship debate.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many of those things, too. It's like the contradiction of...
They're not citizens when they cross... Well, neither are you.
Yeah. Like, try to apply those things to, like, anything except humans, right? Like when a deer crosses the border between the U.S. and Canada, does it go through customs?
No.
It doesn't pay taxes either.
Does it get harassed by men with guns? I mean, maybe hunters, but, like, you know, but not, you know, they don't have to, you know, drive their car across. They don't have to get a passport.
No passport.
Right? Birds, when they fly south, they don't need a passport to... You know, clear the airspace.
Mm-hmm. Just for clarity, passports are another temporary government measure.
Yeah. Really? When they get to end?
It's not.
No, I know.
But it was started as a temporary government program during wartime.
Can you imagine?
To keep travel.
Can you imagine the ability to just travel?
You wouldn't want people to go to Japan, right? Or Germany. Ooh. Oof. What might they do?
Can you imagine the ability to just travel wherever the hell you wanted to go without showing any...
Yeah, you could before they instituted the passports.
There were parts of that just even when I was growing up. Like I feel like I, you know, had more freedom way back in the mid to late 80s, early 90s than I do now.
There was less restriction going in and out of Mexico and Canada.
Yeah, because you're Gen X. You're Gen X. That's why.
Because I was like, screw you guys, I'm going anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, eventually you're going to need the real ID driver's license, I think, to fly anywhere in the country.
That sucks.
I'm done flying. I mean,
I've been saying I'm done flying since the TSA was.
Yeah, I can't take that.
Unveiled. Yeah. I have flown a handful of times since then, but I certainly would fly more if the TSA went bye-bye.
Oh,
yeah.
They're terrible.
Another temporary government organization.
Unfortunately, I can't say that because I have family still in Hawaii, and there's only two methods to get there. I can't drive.
You want the quicker way to get there.
I'll probably fly again, but man, like I keep looking at things like gyrocopters, ultralights, right? You know, have you seen the
human drone cars?
There's a new ultralight that you could get with just a driver's license. Like you don't even need your pilot's license.
There's a flying car that's about to be released to the public at some point, so that's coming up. 603-283-6160 is the number if you would like to join us. Hour number 3 of Free Talk Live, still yet to come. Don't go anywhere. Special guest tonight, Axl Rose.
Axl Classic.
Doing the bumper intro to Free Talk Live. That's right. Yeah, we're
Chinese demo crazy.
603-283-6160. You guys cracked me up. Before we go on, I must say thank you to Glenn.
Thank you.
I thank you. I say Glenn because he spells his name with two N's.
Oh,
Glennon.
And there's no last name here. Some people put in, you know, sometimes it's initials, sometimes it's a weird phrase, but most of the time it's names, and Glenn is definitely a name. It just, you know, to differentiate
Glenn, two N's.
From all the other Glenns with one N, I just thought I'd go Glennon. Mm.
All right.
Anyway, Glenn is a platinum.
Three N's.
Glenn is a platinum level amplifier.
Ooh, wow.
What is that, $50?
$25.
Thanks, Richie. So what is an amplifier, you might ask? Well, you can go over to amps.freetalklive.com, and you'll see it's a Patreon type of a page where you can donate some money to help get this radio program that you're listening to onto more radio stations. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. And that's literally what you're doing. You're advertising, marketing, promoting, and supporting us in our quest to spread the message of liberty, freedom, peace, and prosperity via this radio program, our podcast, and, you know, all the live streams and all that kind of stuff.
The TikTok channel.
There's something. Yeah, someone's doing something.
MySpace.
Really? I don't know.
We have a MySpace?
Be interesting to see if, like, I
revive
know the, I know the website still exists.
It's been sold so many times.
And, like, there are some people who still have, like, there's, like, some photos, but it's all been rearranged. You can't, like, customize like you used to be able to or whatever. It's all very homogenized and generic looking now. But that's interesting. Anyway, Glenn.
I'm curious if my login still works.
Wow.
Anyway, Glenn is a platinum level amplifier.
Amplifier.
Thank you. Yes. Supporter of this program, and you can be a supporter of this program too. We only ask for $5. That's the silver level. So if you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the topics, the perspective of freedom, peace, liberty, and prosperity that we bring to the airwaves, please consider supporting us over at amps.freetalklive.com. again, we thank you, Glenn, for your platinum level contribution. amps.freetalklive.com.
Whose car is beeping? Is that me?
No. Oh, it stopped, so it's just...
Sometimes, we shouldn't have silence like that, but
yeah.
Sometimes I will move my key around in my pocket the right
the
way,
yep.
And it'll
hit the alarm.
So I was just checking to make sure that was not the case.
Well, it also stopped, so I was just going to ignore it and keep going. I was like, I also was reaching just in case me, but it stopped.
Man, do you guys remember when there was only like one cell phone ringtone? Cell phones like were first coming up.
Yeah.
Like where I was, I'm trying to remember the name of the company. It wasn't T-Mobile. It was, I think they had it wasn't Verizon. It was, anyway.
AT&T.
Yeah, somebody.
US Cellular.
Somebody. I don't remember. But like I was in a group of people.
Sprint.
It was not Sprint. But at any rate, I was in a group
Nextel.
Of people. I was in a group of people. And
it's the walkie-talkie one.
Yeah.
Like a phone rang
and
everyone reached for their phone to look and see if it was them.
You know, we're kind of back at that stage.
How so?
There's a lot of people that don't change their default ringtone.
Yeah.
So if you have an Android device or an iPhone, right, you'd leave it.
I got the T-Mobile ring.
At one point in time, it was like, well, I've got a different ringtone for mom and different ringtone for dad.
You can put a song in there.
I got songs. I got my callback ringtone. Yeah. So you hear music when you call me.
Right.
And it was like, this is too much. Remember, you get paid for ringtones? It's like, oh, 99 cents for a ringtone.
Yeah, you'd have to buy ringtones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez.
Microtransactions ahead of their time. And now it's like, I just, whatever the phone came with, man, I'm not changing.
I keep mine on silent probably 99% of the time.
My phone also never rings.
And my texts are on silent.
Yeah, I turn all of the sounds are off. The only sound that my phone makes is my alarm.
Yep.
Hmm.
That one is on specifically because, like, happened to me a couple of days ago, too. Like, somehow the volume for the alarm got turned down.
That's another reason why I prefer the iPhone over Android, because I've had volume issues with older Android devices.
Really?
And I've never had a problem with my iPhone alarm going off.
I've had only Android since there was Android to have.
Yep.
And I've never had a problem with that specifically.
Okay. I've missed alarms on Android devices.
A couple days ago. Yeah. I miss alarms, but like I'm a heavy sleeper.
No. This is not because I slept through it. This is because it didn't go off. The volume, you know, magically went down.
Well, interestingly
enough,
tied
to it.
When it happened to me, like there was a notification. It was like, missed alarm. Your alarm volume is at like 4.
It'll tell
right?
you that.
Yeah,
right?
It told me that in the missed alarm notification. I was like, why is my volume at 4?
Why? I didn't change
before.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally didn't change it. But.
Software update. And you're the only person I know who doesn't have a cover for their phone.
That's because when I put the cover on it, it doesn't fit in the pocket right.
All right.
Yeah, I wear the...
But he also never drops his phone either.
Okay.
That's not true. If you look in the bottom right-hand corner, you can see some crack in there.
I bobbled we were doing a video at work. A couple of coworkers and my boss was going to take a pie in the face, so I had my phone set up on a tripod to video it.
Like Bill Gates coming around the corner?
No, the wind blew and it took a tumble. I'm like, a good thing I got it in the case because it, you know,
that's
bumped
a serious
the case.
Case you got there.
Oh, yeah. It's a serious phone, man. I'm messing around.
Heavy. Well, you're going to make a case out of everything.
to protect the device. I have broken cases on, you know, my other tablets and other phone and like,
You really are violent.
It's not on purpose. I'm clumsy. I'm not violent.
He'll throw his phone at you.
Things.
Richie's out there. He's got like a box full of cell phones chucking them at cops.
Yeah, they're a rage room.
Check this ringtone out.
I'd go berserk in a rage room.
You know? With phones?
Is that with anything.
Is that like an escape room except for rage?
No, you just smash stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, so like at the fair, you can put $5 and you can hit the car and smash the car up.
Maybe.
Are you familiar with the escape rooms?
Yeah.
I've never done one, but like, so you get the idea. You find some clues and figure out how to get out. Right. Instead of that, you can't get out until after you've smashed everything.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's no escape policy. You just smash it, and for however long you paid for. How long do you want to be in here? We'll just load it up with enough breakables.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I wonder how much that would cost. I'd want to get business now.
I've always said, like, I don't want to get into construction. I want to get into demolition.
Destruction.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, you're going to pay me to break things? Like, let's do this.
Right, yeah.
I'll bring a crane over.
Yeah. Give me the wrecking ball.
Yeah.
While we still have time this evening, I want to mention this. It's a headline from Fox 8 out of South Carolina. South Carolina fines $1.8 billion, but doesn't know where the money came from.
Wait, they found it?
Oh, okay. I thought you said fines, like issued a fine.
No,
they found.
Found.
Yes. Okay.
South Carolina has collected about $1.8 billion in a bank account over the past decade, and a state and private, both state and private accountants are still trying to figure out where the cash came from and where it was supposed to go.
It was an embezzlement scheme, and the guy died.
This is like Office Space, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we set up a program where it just rounds up
to the nearest penny.
To the nearest penny and puts it in a bank
account.
Oh, I missed
a decimal. I always do that.
Quote.
So stupid.
It's like going into your bank and the bank president tells you, we have a lot of money in our vault, but we just don't know who it belongs to, said Republican Senator Larry Grooms, who is leading a Senate panel investigating the problem.
They can't trace it?
They can't just hire a guy. They have to lead a Senate panel investigating the problem.
There you go.
They have to put together a panel.
The Blue Ribbon Commission. Well, didn't you know, all the money that comes into the town, or what is it? Is it South Carolina, the state?
Yeah, state of South Carolina.
It all comes from the taxpayers. Just
redistribute it?
Yeah, just send it all back.
Take a page out of Jesse Ventura's book, cut everybody a check.
Right.
Well, okay. Also, I'm sure that, like, when the last deposit was made, right? Can you trace it to that bank account?
I don't know.
Right? Don't they have records of where money's coming to and fro?
You would think that because bankers and government are so in bed with each other that this kind of thing wouldn't happen.
I mean, if someone's just making recurring deposits, right, like Office Space, but they know where it's coming from. It's going from here to there, and then you trace it back. Like, if we're going to say follow the money, right, you know where it is now, where was it prior, and then continue that, investigative work.
Well, check the blockchain.
This is just the latest trouble with the state's books and the two agencies, typically led by elected officials that are in charge of making sure government accounts stay balanced.
Officials.
Government accounts balance. Sorry.
I mean, that's generally my problem with accounting, is that they must balance.
Yeah.
And I learned that earlier. This is where I lost the rails in college accounting, where they go like, well, sometimes it's just not going to balance. And what do? You just create an account called like bad debt allowance, and you put it over here, and now it balances.
Now it balances. Right.
I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do well in accounting.
That's probably what happened here. They were just like, where do we put this $1.8 billion?
It's got a balance. You just put it over there.
Yeah, we've overtaxed the citizens. I mean, so put it over there.
Like, let's just say this is money laundering or embezzlement at the state level, right? Which is my opinion, right? Like, I think that that's what's going on here. Somebody screwed up.
Got caught.
And, well, kind of, right? Like, it hasn't gotten caught yet, but, like, they made the account
Well, they
known.
Found the stash.
They found the stash of money.
They dug up the treasure chest of stolen gold.
Right, yeah.
They don't know who it belonged to.
Yarr. Last year, the elected Republican Comptroller General, the state's top accountant, resigned.
Oh, there you go.
After his agency started double posting money in higher education accounts, leading to a $3.5 billion error that was all on paper. The problem started, what else is it going to be on?
A computer?
The problem.
A remarkable tablet.
Right. Yeah, there we go. The problem started as the state shifted computer systems in the 2010s.
Okay.
So they're just coming up to like 1999 level. No, that's 2010.
It's probably a Y2K problem right there.
The latest
still
issue,
running Windows XP.
The latest issue appears to involve actual cash and elected Republican treasurer Curtis Loftus, whose job is to write checks for the state.
What a job.
Investigative accountants are still trying to untangle the mess, but it appears that every time the state's books were out of whack, money was shifted from somewhere into an account that helped balance it out.
See? They're just making it up.
Cooking the books.
No, they're not cooking. This is how accounting's done.
Right. If it doesn't,
balance, you got to find a way to balance it.
Right. And you then just move it stuff over here, around move it over there. Yep. We balance the budget.
Politics really shouldn't come into play. People prefer their accountants not be crusaders, Groom said Tuesday, just after the Senate approved putting a constitutional amendment before voters to make the Comptroller General an appointed position. The proposal now goes to the House. Like, the last thing you want to do is make this person, this accountant, a politician.
I mean, it's like doing inventory at a retail place, right? You're like, well, we're supposed to have 6 pens. We've only got 5. What do we do? Well, you don't add a pen. You just change the 6 to a 5, right? Now we've got the right amount. It balances.
It balances. Where's that other pen gone?
It doesn't matter. It balances. The account balances. We created this account to make sure that we balance, because that's what you do in accounting.
Right.
Whatever caused the bank account errors has not been rectified, and if there are records showing where the $1.8 billion came from... They have not been shared with state leaders. Quote, it does not inspire confidence, but the good news is no money was lost, unquote, said Republican Governor Henry McMaster. McMaster. That's right. A politician McManager. Named Master.
McManager.
Okay. A McMaster even.
Yeah.
He got his master's degree from McDonald's University.
In Dublin.
Loftus has said he invested the money in the mystery account and made nearly $200 million in interest for the state. Why would he do that? Which led to questions about why he didn't let the General Assembly know money that they either set aside for state agencies or might have been in a trust fund was just sitting around.
Because he was going to collect the interest later or the funds.
Loftus said that wasn't the job of his office.
Oh, my goodness.
Not my job. Not my job.
I just balance the books. I don't know what they do with the money after I move it from account to account.
I saw $1.8 billion sitting there and thought, I'll take some risks and invest it in some stuff. Yeah. Oh, look, I made another $200,000.
$200 million.
$200 million.
Right.
Hooray for me. Aren't I a cool dude? No. You're supposed to account for all of that.
Yeah. At the same time, though, like the guy said, they didn't lose it. It's not like... You know, it's not like it is being embezzled.
Or did they use that money for other investments that also made money?
Off the books.
I don't know.
They're only telling you about some of the money they made.
Wonder if they have to pay taxes on that $200 million. Would they?
Capital gains, man.
Yeah.
If you were wealthy enough to like have enough money to set aside and live off the interest, that's the ideal situation.
Yes.
Right? So if he has this money invested, like, he's investing the public's money and just skimming the interest off of it for his personal gains. Right.
Yeah.
The Comptroller General is attempting to shift responsibility to clean up its mess to the treasurer. Loftus wrote in the March 14th letter to Grooms that also set a timeline to answer the questions in just a few weeks was impossible. They can't even answer questions.
Impossible.
Loftus said his staff spent thousands of hours researching the account and that the Comptroller General's office has refused to meet with them or share information.
Yeah. But again, the state's not in debt, right? They're not running a deficit. They've got a surplus of $2 million, and they could reissue it to the taxpayers, but how would you divvy that up if this has been going on for a decade?
This is, I mean, Captain Obvious to us, right? Mm-hmm. But also funny that, like, this was written by, like, you know, a local South Carolina Fox News affiliate.
Okay.
An audit of how the treasurer's office and the comptroller general's office communicate found they don't do it well.
They don't do it well.
Like, duh. You expected them to come out with a high rating for communication? Mm-hmm. My God. The treasurer hasn't answered detailed questions from lawmakers, but has posted statements on social media where he said he was being politically attacked and was having blame shifted on him. Blah, 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 the drama. No. Finger point.
I mean, you made a mistake. Like, now you just be, you're yeah. being held accountable to it.
Right.
Like anybody at any job who made a $2.2 million mistake. Where'd the money come from? It's all we want to know. You're yeah. supposed to have both sides. You know what comes in. You know what goes out. Where's right. this one?
So... the bottom line here, legislative leaders and the governor want to wait for some definitive report before tapping into the account.
Well, we've investigated ourselves and yep. found that we did nothing wrong.
Right. Put the Blue Ribbon Commission on
now
there.
Now let's go spend that $1.8
billion. Yeah.
Let's go shopping, guys. Come on.
Infrastructure programs.
Yeah, we're going to give grants out to all the towns.
Raises to themselves.
Raises to themselves.
$1.8 billion just shows up out of nowhere in an account that is obviously the state's.
Over time. Like over a decade.
Yeah.
Why can't I have those problems?
So anyway.
Well, because if it happens to you and you go spend it, then you're in trouble.
Yeah. Right?
They will accuse you of theft, and you will then owe the bank back for the error. This is not Monopoly.
So there's that. There's this one, too, from thegazette.com. Former University of Iowa hospital employee used fake identity for 35 years.
Oh, man. If you get into this one is nuts.
Is it?
Yeah.
A former...
I mean, it's 35 years. I mean, are you still fake after 35 years?
Yeah, because the other guy still exists.
Right. Oh. What is real in this case when it comes to names? I get that question all the time. People introduce me as captain to other people.
Yeah. Like,
captain, what are you a captain of? Myself, you know? It's always my answer. And it seems to be working out pretty well. Nobody really questions me about it.
Yep.
Like, oh, you're not the captain of yourself. Well, I mean.
Yes, you are.
I mean, it depends on the bureaucrats and what they do. Right?
If you're trying to take ownership of me, we're going to fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you'll find out what kind of captain I am, you know.
Captain Kickass.
Yes.
A former University of Iowa hospital employee pleaded guilty Monday to federal charges that he had been living under another man's identity since 1988. I mean, classic. Steve, classic.
Yes, that's me. Yes.
I'm asking you because, like, this guy, I mean, geez, man, that's a classic maneuver.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
He's been
faking it till he's made it.
Now,
he didn't make it, though.
Now, 1988, you got to remember there was no internet, right? There were
no cell phones.
There were no cell phones.
Barely.
It might have been like car phones.
Yeah,
or something like
the
that,
bag phone.
The brick.
The yeah. big old brick, yeah.
Big old brick phone.
And it was, you know, $5,000 to just buy one, and then I don't even know what the monthly on that
$2 a minute.
Something
like that.
But in the olden days, it was much easier to do this kind of thing.
Yep.
I remember as a teenager reading some books. There was a place called Paladin Press. They would publish a lot of informational books you would find in like Soldier of Fortune magazine or Taekwondo mm-hmm. magazine, stuff like that. And they had all sorts of books. The Anarchist Cookbook was one of them mm-hmm. That they would carry. They also carried like... you know how to
which I have a PDF of somewhere.
How to assume
my e-reader?
How to assume somebody else's identity? And it would be that basically you go to your clerk's office, your town, city, whatever, and you request a death certificate because death certificates are publicly available. And you just pay. Here's $20 or whatever. Give me a death certificate, and you take that death certificate to the birth certificate office, and you go, "Yeah, I need the birth certificate. Yeah, here's the death certificate." And you pay, right? And then now...
$10 or whatever.
Yeah. And then now you just assume the dead person's name, their social security number, if they had one.
Okay.
All that kind of stuff, and that's how you become... I don't know how this guy did it, but like they like that book was advertised to me. Here's how you do it. And they would
here's
give, like,
how you do it.
The, you know, the,
send
the
$10.
Little, the tease summary about like how yeah, you go here, you go there, you do that kind of stuff. So, like, subversion manuals were sort of Paladin Press's, you know.
Charles
niche,
Atlas books.
If you will.
Charles Atlas.
So, anyway, he apparently caused the other man to be falsely imprisoned for identity theft and sent to a mental hospital.
Wow, it sounds like squatters or, like...
Dude literally squatted another dude's identity.
Yeah, squatting IDs, yeah.
Matthew David Kierens, 58... was convicted of one count of false statement to a National Credit Union Administration insured institution, punishable by up to 30 years in a federal prison. I was going to say.
I want the restitutions for the guy whose identity he stole.
and one count of aggravated identity theft punishable by up to 2 years in federal prison. Karen's worked as a systems architect in the hospital's IT department from June of 2013 to July of 2023.
It's always the nerds.
When he was terminated for misconduct related to the identity theft investigation.
He was rounding up one penny.
In the basement. Putting it in a count in South Carolina.
Sent to South Carolina.
Although a news release from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Iowa states Kearns was an administrator at the hospital, a hospital representative said he was not a senior leader in the organization. We can talk more about this guy who stole an identity, used it for 35 years, and caused the original guy to be committed to a mental hospital here on Free Talk Live. More is coming up.
It's like three words, man. Get it together.
Did you guys knock something over just now?
No, I just knocked my phone.
Oh, okay. I heard a...
Not your phone. It's my phone. Don't worry.
Who's the girl in the photo?
iPhone?
That's Angie.
Oh, okay.
Off-grid Angie?
Off-grid Angie.
Sometimes host here on Free Talk Live, or at least a couple times. Yeah.
Just making sure.
It is Free Talk Live in the studio. It's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Richie Rich. I didn't have a really good angle. I just saw a female.
We can talk more about this guy who... Man, he's somebody else's identity for 30-some years.
Squatter.
In just a moment. But first, I'm going to go
How long
to,
do you have to keep the identity before it like just becomes yours?
Right. Yeah, you become the guy.
Yeah. I mean, how long do you think Zorro had to claim he was Zorro before people recognized him as Zorro?
I mean, so everyone got a Z on their forehead?
Okay. Let's go to Gigi calling. Gigi, you're on Free Talk Live.
Good evening, gentlemen.
And the captain.
I have a question for our listeners out there, as well as the three wonderful hosts this evening.
Okay, yes, she's talking about us, Steve.
This week, I should clarify, commemorates the 30-year anniversary of the genocide in Rwanda. Since 1994's genocide in Rwanda, we've seen numerous examples of genocide around this globe.
Uh-huh.
And earlier today, I was at a social gathering talking to people that I assumed were educated with various initials after their names, plural. Uh-huh. And when I posed this question, they just sat there. Gaped in wonder, and I got really pissed off, really, really angry that people could be so uninformed and, what's a good word, uncaring, if that's apathetic, maybe that's better.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ignorance and apathy.
Yes.
I don't know and I don't care.
I remember... I was 16 years old. I heard the famous Holocaust survivor and Nobel laureate Elie Wiesel speak publicly. And he said, don't blame the Nazi Party. Don't blame democratic elections that got him into office. Blame apathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that. And now... I am much older. I try to maintain being informed. And it really hit me earlier this evening thinking, boy, these people that I was trying to talk to didn't know a goddamn thing about what I was talking. So I said, how many examples should I give?
Yeah.
The world has learned nothing. And then I even included, and this is my own opinion, people are free to vehemently disagree with me. I also said, in my personal view, Netanyahu and the IDF are guilty of genocide against Palestinian civilians. And the look that was given to me, and then somebody called me a self-hating Jew, and I was really livid in my reaction. The nerve somebody to call me that, and the nerve somebody not to simply say, I disagree with you.
So let me point something out real quick, Gigi, because you brought up the Rwandan one. Right, and now the Gazan one.
Yes, sir.
While you've been on the phone, I just Googled, like, list of genocides, and there's a Wikipedia page devoted
yes.
to it.
And there's right. tons of examples.
There's tons of examples.
Yes, sir.
So which ones am
but
I supposed to, like, deeply care about?
Global society.
Well, I get it, but again, my question is, which ones am I supposed to deeply care about? All of them? Do I have
Are
that kind of time?
All equally significant? The fact that they're all enumerated as examples?
I would say no, they're not all equally significant. Most of them are insignificant to me personally.
Why? Because
I'm apathetic, right? There's no way you can expect me, an individual, to care about all of these genocides. What am I supposed to do? What's my next step? Okay. The Gazans are being genocided by the Israelis. What am I supposed to do with that information?
I wouldn't say Israelis. I would say Netanyahu and the IDF, because there are thousands and thousands of Israelis demonstrating against it.
Okay. Well, fine. Netanyahu and the IDF, right? What is my next step? What am I supposed to do with that information? How do I demonstrate that I care?
I can't answer that for you. That's an individual choice. Yeah. If you choose to do anything or express yourself, I just feel that, I guess, my own feeling, because I was a professor of international relations, these things are important and interesting to me. And as a girl that grew up learning about the Holocaust, learned, and I see, like in Rwanda, the technology of gas chambers and crematoriums were not present, machetes and machine guns. However, millions were killed in such a short period of time. So has the world really learned anything? Because, like you said, lots of examples, Bosnia, Sudan, Yemen, Gaza. I mean,
the Armenians.
We've learned anything.
No, we haven't. As a race of human beings, no, we haven't, because this list
right.
is long
and before
and vast.
The Holocaust, in my opinion, the Nazis saw what the Turks did to the Armenians.
Yeah. And the Holocaust isn't even like the big one, right? Like King Leopold in the Congo, like, dwarfs it as far as numbers of individuals killed in it. But that wasn't Europe. That wasn't, you know, the killing of European people,
or like Mao killing,
whitewashed, right? Yeah.
If Rwanda had any natural resources that other countries wanted, they would have stopped it. They would have prevented it.
Understood. But your general claim was that people
are
too apathetic.
No uranium, no cobalt for cell phones.
Yeah. Again, your initial claim was that people are too apathetic when you were discussing
yes.
the Rwandan one and now the Gazan
yes,
one.
And I see that history
yeah.
hasn't changed itself, just the players.
We learn from the past that people seldom learn from the past.
Well, and
well,
also,
I feel like that example on Kung Fu when I was a kid, I used to love to watch with David Carradine.
Yeah.
Grasshopper, learn.
Kane.
On this show, I think we still do, right? As far as United States foreign policy, we would advocate that of non-intervention.
Certainly I would.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
So even if the IDF and Netanyahu are like massacring the Gazans, right? The United States as an entity, as a government, collection of goons and whatever,
yeah,
right, ought not interfere. They ought not have interfered in Germany for the Holocaust, right? They ought not have interfered in Rwanda if they had.
Well, and right. If people who do care about these things, if they care, fine, get on a plane, go and do something about it, right? I say this about politicians too, right?
Yeah.
Politician, if you have a problem with the politician in another country,
get over there.
Get on a plane, get over there, and duke it out with him yourself.
Well,
don't send.
Let me ask you, gentlemen, this question then: do you really believe, and I say this to our listening audience as well this evening, that Janet Yellen is in China again? She's been there several times representing Biden and the United States of America. Do you think it's because possibly the United States is very nervous and maybe jealous that China is building and constructing and exporting, and God forbid another country should outdo us?
I mean, China's been the go-to place for manufacturing for years now, so I don't think that's as big of a deal breaker as anything else, right? But if it is, they just simply put tariffs on imported Chinese goods until it's as expensive to buy Chinese imports than it is to buy domestic.
Love to go shopping at Walmart as opposed to another store.
Oh, if they didn't devalue the dollar, you wouldn't have as many people shopping at Walmart.
You can walk out of Walmart with a shopping cart full of stuff for under $100.
Yeah, well, that's changing.
And also, I would like to point out that mankind has shown through all of history that mankind appreciates a freak show. Walmart has a reputation of being the freak show. Have you ever seen peopleofwalmart.com?
That is a great website.
Anything like that, right? So people go to Walmart not just for the cheap goods, but also
the entertainment
for the human freak show the rest of humanity, right? And like, I seriously think that that is on purpose. I think that's part of Walmart's marketing strategy is to be the circus so that people keep coming to shop there.
Yeah, come for the goods, stay for the freak.
You guys crack me up. Captain, one last thought, sir.
Sure.
This past week, I know how much you love a good pot roast. I cooked for my Jeffrey a delicious pot roast with all the fixings and trimmings.
She's rubbing it in.
And I must say to every man listening out there who appreciates a woman who's a damn good chef, I outdid myself.
I sit here in jealousy.
Well, I've told you many months, if I wasn't married.
A pool of envy.
Yes.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking all my questions.
Gigi, thank you for listening and calling. We'll talk to you again soon. Feel free to call another time as well.
Hot roast. All right.
Brisket specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can make these things. Yeah.
Pot roast, roast pot.
I mean, you know, a little pot before the pot roast makes the pot roast taste
roast
even better.
Roast pot, yeah.
Pot roast is one of those things that, in my opinion, also tastes better the second day.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The leftovers, like after you put it in the fridge, you know, maybe
because it congeals a little more and then you cook off the extra steam.
Something happens and it just becomes a little bit better the next day somehow.
Mm-hmm. THC infused cooking oil?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Gapping? I don't know.
Now you're talking.
All right.
I pass on grass.
Can I just put a straw in it and drink it like a shake?
Sure.
Make a smoothie. Add some of that.
There'd certainly be a smoothie at some point if I drank a whole bottle of weed infused.
We get back to our number two story.
It's bottling up afterwards.
All right. So this guy used this fake ID for like 35 years. Let's see.
This guy.
Kieran used Wood's identity in every aspect of his life, including obtaining employment, insurance, and official documents, and even paying taxes under the name.
I mean, you would have to, because if you can obtain employment, they don't take them.
Yeah. According to a plea agreement signed by Kieran's. In 1990, Kieran's obtained a fraudulent Colorado identification card with Wood's name and birthday. He used the ID to get a job at a fast food restaurant.
Whoa.
The pot roast.
It's the pot roast coming back. Used to get a job at a fast food restaurant and to get a Colorado bank account. He bought a car for $600.
Whoa.
In 1991.
Well, yeah.
Using Wood's name with two $300 checks that bounced. He drove the stolen car to Idaho, where it broke down and he abandoned it. He withdrew all his money from the Colorado bank using an ATM in Idaho and then left the state.
This, again, is what Captain was saying earlier, right? Like, without the internet, the state-to-state hopping in ID, much easier to do.
Yep,
very much so.
They weren't as connected back then.
Right.
An arrest warrant was issued for Woods in Colorado because of the stolen car, though documents don't indicate whether Woods was arrested at that time. It wasn't the first time Kearns had stolen a car. When he was 16, he stole a car after running away from his adoptive parents' home in San Francisco. He was arrested at the time in Oregon under his own name, but never appeared in court, according to court documents. In 1994, 6 years after he started using Woods' name, Kearns got married. He had a child whose last name is Woods. Yeah. In 2012, 24 years after he started using Woods' name, Kearns fraudulently acquired a copy of Woods' birth certificate from the state of Kentucky using information he found about Woods' family on Ancestry.com. Mm. Right, that's how he answered the questions.
Yep.
Right? What was your paternal grandparents' middle name?
Well, it wasn't him that was answering the question. I mean, keep reading. It was the other guy.
You know, right.
Who couldn't answer because the correct answers weren't what was on file because the thief
changed it.
Had changed it.
By 2013, Kearns had moved to eastern Wisconsin. He started his IT job with UI Hospitals and worked remotely. He earned more than $700,000 in his 10 years working for the hospital. In 2023, his salary was $140,501, according to the hospital. He obtained multiple vehicle and personal loans from Iowa credit unions under Woods' name between 2016 and 2022, totaling more than $200,000. He also had money stored in a national bank under Woods' name, court documents state. Woods' arrest. In 2019, the real William Woods was homeless, living in Los Angeles. He went to a branch of the national bank and explained that he recently discovered someone was using his credit and had accumulated a lot of debt. Woods didn't want to pay the debt and asked how to know the account numbers for any accounts he had open at the bank so he could close them. Woods gave the bank employee his real Social Security card and an authentic California identification card, which matched the information the bank had on file.
Now, it doesn't say, I don't think the article says, like, if any of this led to him being homeless at that time. Mm. Right? It could be a coincidence, but if they're like, oh, if they're checking like employment status and like, oh, you know, you've been all over the place.
Yeah. Well, it says he didn't have a driver's license. He had an identification card.
California authentic. Identification. Yeah. Right. If you don't have a driver's license,
you could still get a non-driver's license ID.
Yeah. From the state. And in fact, the state rather insists that you have one in lieu of a driver's license.
Yeah.
You know, when they demand your ID, stuff like that.
Okay.
But because there was a large amount of money in these accounts, the bank employee asked Woods a series of security questions that he was unable to answer. Figure. Because he didn't open the freaking accounts, right? The bank employee called Kearns, whose phone number was connected to the account. He answered the security questions correctly and said no one in California should have access to his accounts. The employee called Los Angeles Police Department, and officers spoke with Woods and Kearns. Kearns faxed the Los Angeles officers a copy of Woods' Social Security card and birth certificate, as well as a Wisconsin driver's license Kearns had acquired under Woods' name. The driver's license had the name William David Woods. David is Kearns' real middle name, rather than William Donald Woods. When questioned, Kieran told an LAPD officer he sometimes used David as a middle name, but his real name was William Donald Woods. Wow. The real Woods was arrested and charged with identity theft and false impersonation under a misspelling of Kieran's name, Matthew Kearns, spelled with an A instead of an I or something like that. Because Woods continued to insist throughout the judicial process that he was William Woods and not Matthew Kearns, a judge ruled in February 2020 that he was not mentally competent to stand trial, and he was sent to a mental hospital in California where he received psychotropic medication and other mental health treatments.
I'm the real Woods. No, you're not.
Yeah. I'm not Quaid. I'm Cohagen. Anyone? Total Recall?
No? Yeah.
Okay. All right. In, like, first of all, imagine, you know, being you, and then...
It's tough.
It's tough.
I know, right? just try. Just bear with me here. Just try. And then you find somebody else using your identity. And so you go into a place, you're like, hey, I think somebody's using my identity on these accounts. How can I close them because that guy's not me? And they go, well, can you answer these security questions? And nope, you sure can't because you didn't open them.
Yep.
And that results in you getting chucked into a mental hospital and prosecuted for identity theft yourself?
Yep.
I mean, probably if you're going to, you know, open a bank account, at least be familiar with the people who work there, maybe so they know you.
It also doesn't say how he came to acquire the knowledge that these bank accounts existed. Right? Like, oh, he found out the bank accounts were open in his name, and he went to inquire about him and...
Maybe he just ran like his credit report or something.
Could have been. Like you said, the other guy ran up substantial debt and he wanted to, you know, whatever.
Because you get like, you know, a free one from each of the reporting bureaus every year or something.
Sure.
If you know how to work the system. In March of 2021, Woods pleaded no contest to the identity theft charges. What's the difference between that and not guilty?
Well, no contest is guilty, but without as harsh a penalty.
No contest.
So kind of like a reverse plea deal.
I mean, it's usually attached to a plea. So no contest means like I'm not going to fight this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I don't want to get in the ring is what he's saying.
Right.
Okay. All right. And they did mention a plea deal.
Yeah. Right. So it doesn't even go to court. He just says no contest and it's settled.
It's effectively guilty without a guilty verdict.
Without taking it to court.
Gosh, if I'd have just read the rest of the statement, it says Woods pleaded no contest to identity theft charges, dash. Meaning he accepted the conviction but did not admit guilt.
Yeah. This is if Richie wrote the story.
He was sentenced.
I've been to court, man.
He read the
story. Could just plead no contest and it'll all go away.
It's like accounting.
He was sentenced to 2 years imprisonment with credit for the 2 years he already served in the county jail and the hospital and was released.
I wouldn't give that guy credit.
He was also ordered to pay $400 in fines and stop using the name William Woods.
That's it. $400 after getting a guy imprisoned
2 years.
Stole his identity. Well, yeah, but that was time served.
He did not stop. Who is it? Morgan Freeman. But he did not stop. Woods continued to attempt to regain his identity by filing customer disputes with financial organizations in an attempt to clear his credit report. He also reached out to multiple law enforcement agencies, including the Heartland Police Department in Wisconsin, where Kearns lived. Woods eventually discovered where Kearns was working, and in January 2023, he reached out to the University of Iowa Hospital Security Department, who referred his complaint to the University of Iowa Police Department. University of Iowa Police Detective Ian Mallory opened an investigation into the case. Mallory found the biological father listed on Woods' birth certificate, which both Woods and Kearns had sent an official copy of, and tested the father's DNA against Woods' DNA. This test proved Woods was the man's son. So finally, some sort of,
Now go back progress. And sue California.
Right. On July 17, 2023, Mallory interviewed Kearns. He asked Kearns what his father's name was, and Kearns accidentally gave the name of his own adoptive father. Mallory then confronted Kearns with the DNA evidence, and Kearns responded by saying, "My life is over, and everything is gone."
After 34 years.
I quit.
He then confessed to the prolonged identity theft, according to court documents. Kearns was taken into custody in July of 2023 and charged in Johnson County with false use of a birth certificate and providing false identification information. He pled guilty August 14th to false use of a birth certificate and another charge was dropped. He was sentenced to 20 days in Johnson County Jail with credit for time served. On August 29th, a complaint was filed in federal court against Kearns. He was indicted on December 12th on 5 counts of false statements to a National Credit Union Administration insured institution and 2 counts of aggravated identity theft. He pleaded guilty Monday to 1 count of each charge, and the other counts were dropped. A sentencing has not yet been scheduled.
Okay.
Kearns is currently in the custody of the U.S. Marshal Service.
I feel like it's got to be more than years, right? If he was like, 6 months on each count.
I mean, you start by doing this birth certificate, death certificate thing, and then like, I got away with that. Like, let me see what else I can do. And then you just keep going and going, and like, I've been in this for 30 years.
All
what
of
do
this
I do?
Because he found his stepdad's Soldier of Fortune magazine.
Exactly.
And sent away for a book.
$10. send now.
He thought he was getting sea monkeys, but no.
Oh, that's how X-ray glasses. X-ray glasses.
Yeah. Oh man,
see through anything. Yeah. Did you guys get sea monkeys when you were?
Yeah,
they're just brine shrimp.
They're brine shrimp.
Okay,
that's all it is. Yeah,
I never got anything like
that. It comes in like a packet, a little Kool-Aid packet looking thing, and it's like yeast. It's just dried up or whatever.
Okay,
and then you put it in water, and then they like rehydrate and come to life.
Come to life.
And they start swimming around. Yeah, they look like little tiny seahorses or something like that. And the ads for that in the comic books had you believing like these were going to be like half man, half shrimp, right? Anyway, we're out of time. Thank you to all of our callers. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you, Richie Rich and Steve Classic.
Thank you
for joining me tonight. If you missed any part of tonight's program, find the archives over at freetalklive.com under the resources tab. Thanks and peace.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.